today. Also, eastbound 70 at Blanchett Bridge, that road construction, the right lanes are closed as the crews are in the final stages of that bridge work. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. That's 1-800-2-DONATE, or you can visit taxdeduction.com for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. For today, partly cloudy skies, high and lower 90s. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 70. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-90s. Tuesday evening, mostly clear once again, low around 70. And Wednesday, hot, partly cloudy, high in the mid to upper 90s. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 75 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 78 degrees. Stay tuned now. It's time for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Summer has officially begun, and warmer weather can mean danger for your cats and dogs. The ASPCA has issued a pet safety advisory urging pet owners to protect their companion animals during the sweltering summer days. The organization offers these guidelines as a way to keep pets safe when the temperatures begin to rise. Keep your dog or cat well-groomed, as a clean coat can help to prevent summer skin problems. Never take an animal to the beach unless you can provide a shaded spot and plenty of fresh water for him or her to drink. Never leave your pet standing on hot asphalt. Bring your companion animal to the vet for a spring or early summer checkup, including a test for heartworm, if your dog is not on year-round preventive medication. And to prevent escape or accidental falls, make sure all windows in your home are properly screened. The ASPCA has provided national leadership in humane education for over a century and has over 1 million supporters today. Visit ASPCA.org for more information.
Last week marked the 60th anniversary of the use of nuclear weapons on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Did you know that for decades the government refused to allow newsreel footage of the devastation to be seen by the American public? Americans never did get a true understanding of how deadly the bomb was, nor why the use of them was so broadly condemned around the world. Images on walls of vaporized human beings. Grotesque burning of men, women, and children. Greg Mitchell, editor of Editor and Publisher, will join us Wednesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call to examine the Hiroshima cover-up, courtesy of Uncle Sam.
Asthma. Many people think they have it under control, but they really don't. If you have asthma, take 30 seconds to take the asthma control test. For each question, think back to the past 4 weeks. How much of the time did your asthma keep you from getting as much done at work or at home? How often did you have shortness of breath? How often did your asthma symptoms wake you up at night or earlier than usual in the morning? How often did you use your rescue inhaler or nebulizer medication? And last, how would you rate your asthma control during the past 4 weeks? Visit www.asthmaactionamerica.org and take 30 seconds to complete the asthma control test. Or call 1-800-704-4699 to receive the test by mail. And be sure to talk with your healthcare professional about preventing asthma symptoms and protecting your lungs from damage. Are you doing everything you can to control your asthma? Or is your asthma controlling you? A message from Asthma Action America.
Mary Gallagher shares a small two-bedroom apartment with seven people, her three children, her 16-year-old sister, and three others. She's working hard to provide her family with a better life. Now, Habitat for Humanity is helping Mary build a simple, decent, and affordable home. Not only is she building her own home, she'll buy it with a no-profit, zero-interest mortgage to keep it affordable. Habitat for Humanity. Building homes, changing lives. Support the work in your community. Visit Habitat.org.
I am a child.
I am an adult.
I am 8 years old.
I am 40... Wait, is this important?
I'm in the second grade.
I work in an office.
I learn a lot of stuff.
I file papers, read emails, and...
I have recess twice a day.
I also have a special little friend.
I have a favorite grandma and a special lady friend.
I am a mentor to an amazing little girl.
I like her. Her name's Carol.
Her name's Lakeisha.
Volunteer to help a young child do better in school. Mentor St. Louis, the largest volunteer organization in the St. Louis Public Schools, needs volunteer mentors. Go to mentorstlouis.org or call 314-531-2570 and let something wonderful happen.
I know how to say I love you in Spanish.
Te amo.
My baby was born so early. He's struggling to stay alive.
More and more babies in America being born so early, their lives hang in the balance, and thousands don't get through the first month. The March of Dimes funds research to save babies. Help us stop the crisis of premature birth. For information or to help, go to marchofdimes.com. The baby we save may be your own.
Today, my son has a fighting chance.
This is the sound of an AK-47 being fired at you. This is the sound of a rocket-propelled grenade headed your way. This is the sound of a bullet ricocheting off your helmet. This is the sound of an anti-personnel landmine exploding underneath you. This is the sound of a car bomb exploding less than a block away. And this?
These people don't fly George W. Bush with the
That's the sound of people who have never heard these sounds arguing about something they know absolutely nothing about. Maybe we should start listening to the people who were there. Go to optruth.org to find out how you can really help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
Did you know that one unspayed female cat can produce 36 cats in just 1.5 years? Every year, millions of animals are euthanized in animal shelters, and millions more are abandoned to die on the streets. The good news is that all of these deaths can be prevented with spaying and neutering. Altering animals also prevents deadly cancers and other diseases. Make an appointment to get your animal friend spayed or neutered today. For more information, please call 757-622-PETA or visit helpinganimals.com. Thank you.
I like some cookies.
Potato chips.
Candy.
Ice cream.
Brownies. Marshmallows.
Cotton candy.
Left to their own devices, children wouldn't always eat right.
Chocolate donuts for breakfast.
I want pizza. Pizza. Pizza.
Popcorn.
That's why they have you.
French fries.
And you have WIC. WIC provides nutrition information, healthcare referrals, even food to women, infants, children. It's confidential and free. To find out more about WIC, our nearest location, or if you qualify for our benefits, call 1-866-WIC-INFO. That's 1-866-WIC-INFO. Your child has you.
Pepperoni pizza.
And you have WIC. Brought to you by the National WIC Association and the Ad Council.
Next on Mondays at 9, we recently told you the story of William Rodriguez, the head janitor at the World Trade Center, who said there was an explosion in the basement of the tower just before it was hit by an airplane. Now, there's also some scientific evidence that the collapse of the building was a controlled demolition. And if that's the case, was it an inside job? Professor Morgan Reynolds of Texas A&M University says the official version of why the trade towers collapsed is suspect, because it would mean the original engineering data was wrong, too. Don't miss this provocative discussion with Professor Morgan Reynolds on the next edition of Mondays at 9. Time now for another edition of The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think
was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
All men are created equal, yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up, get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. I guess sleep with dogs, you wake up with fleas. If you are part of an administration and an agenda, a philosophy that is at its core corrupt, if that is what you are part of, then it shouldn't come as any surprise to folks that the people that are part of the corruption become corrupt as well. And I was having some conversations with some friends, and we were talking about the motivation of the Iraqi people that have been defined as insurgents. And the discussion that I had with my friends is that, you know, what would you do if somebody came to your place, came to the United States and started some stuff here? Blew up your churches, blew up your hospitals, blew up your schools, killed your family. What would you do? How far would you go? And what would be the things that would tick you off and make you even angrier and join up with a resistance movement? Now, I imagine, since this is the United States, that the Klan would really, really get all excited and get involved in it. They would be the extremist group involved in our liberation fight. I imagine the militia would have a whole lot of meetings where they met or exceeded the occupancy permits of the other halls that they would hold them in. I imagine that while the NRA may not be getting checks in the mail anymore, but they certainly would be getting a whole lot of more empathetic, sympathetic ears, we would have our extremist groups as well in the United States if something, God forbid, happened and there was a foreign occupying force that landed on the soil of the United States. Although I don't think that we would be as prepared as other countries. I don't think that we would be as prepared to fight back. As evident that of the things that we're allowing to happen right now, I don't think that we would be that prepared. But we would, many of us would fight. And many of us would do things that we didn't think were possible. And I say this in order to try to understand and try to discuss out, if you will, the story that comes out of the Los Angeles Times. California Army National Guard troops charged unauthorized, off the books, rent to Iraqi-owned businesses inside of Baghdad's green zone. Now, they say, it's not extortion. Well, sweetie, what would it be? Unauthorized, off-the-books rent. What? I guess the mafia doesn't call it extortion either, but that doesn't mean that it's not. How does that get you to maintain a positive relationship? If you're ripping Iraqi businesses off, and remind you, Iraqi people see the same thing that Americans see. They see these contractors coming into Iraq, getting paid extremely crazy money, getting paid crazy money to privatize, to take away the things that belong to the Iraqi people. They see that every day, every hour of every day. So they struggle along with their little businesses as they watch their mosques being destroyed, as they watch their antiquities being stolen and destroyed, as they watch their laws being destroyed, as they watch the world being destroyed. So just let me ask you this. If you owned a business in Iraq, and the United States was extorting you in the one little last so-called safe place in Iraq, how helpful would you be to your cousin who was one of the resistance, involved in the resistance, or the insurgency, as some call it? How helpful would you be to your cousin? Would you be motivated to be helpful to your cousin? Of course you would. Because you would have an attitude about being ripped off by America. And this is an investigation that has gone into the 1st Battalion of the 184th Infantry Regiment of the National Guard. And then you got to ask yourself, well, why did the National Guard feel that it was necessary to raise money for a soldier's fund? You think it has something to do with maybe getting some more equipment? Think it has something to do with maybe having a little bit more armor? This is a vicious circle that starts at the top. The money was used to create a soldier's fund, said one member of the battalion. The funds were used for a wide range of purposes, such as small loans to repay bills back home, to buy so-called challenge coins, the often specially minted coins to foster morale inside of a unit. It was used to buy T-shirts. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We will be back. We have much, much more to talk about. Stay with me. 454-0400 is the phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU is the long distance number. Revolution@LizBrown.com. That's my other number. My email number. Get to me.
We'll have a dream. Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's rough, but we got to keep your head up.
I'll keep your head up.
'Cause a new day will come. And love to the sun, even in the darkness, shall come.
It's a real song.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with the Louis Hour Traffic and Weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Northbound 55 between Richardson and Loughborough, everything is running smoothly. Eastbound 44 between 109 and Guyer, no problems there. Eastbound 40 between 94 all the way into 141, everything is running smoothly there. Eastbound 70 from Earth City Expressway all the way into Bermuda, nothing to report going on there. Northbound 270 from 55 to Doherty Ferry, everything's smooth. Westbound 270 from Riverview all the way on to Washington Elizabeth. Look for no problems there. Westbound 70 at Madison. There's an accident. The right lane is blocked, and blocking the exit to Madison is now open. Westbound 5570 between Route 3 and the PSB. Look for normal traffic this hour. Westbound 64 between 15th and the PSB. Everything's running smoothly. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit all the way onto Laclede's Landing. Look for no problems there. Northbound Route 3 between Queenie and Poplar Street Bridge. Look for nothing to report. In both directions, Tesson Ferry between Lindbergh and Gravois. There'll be paving operations southbound Lindbergh at Lee May Ferry. There's road construction. Left lane will be closed throughout the day. Eastbound 40 at Vandeventer. That's closed through August. Due to construction work, you can use Kings Highway Market or Grand to get around that area. And in both directions, Natural Bridge between Air Flight and 70. You've got road maintenance operations going on there as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Beat the heat all summer long with a 42-ounce drink like an ice-cold Coke. Just 89 cents at McDonald's. That's big drink for a little price. It just might be the hottest deal in town. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. For today, look forward to partly cloudy skies with a high in the lower 90s. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 70s. For Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-90s. Tuesday evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-70s. And then on Wednesday, hot. Partly cloudy with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 75 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 76. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
Hi friends, Heloise here for CitraCal Calcium Citrate. My hint today? Act on what you know. We know CitraCal is clinically proven to help build strong bones to fight osteoporosis. Insist on CitraCal. I do. I'm a CitraCal gal. And listen to this. You could win a trip to Boca Raton, Florida to spend court time with tennis champion Chris Everett. Official rules at CitraCal.com. That's CITRACAL. Enter by August 15th, 2005. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
No prescription drug coverage? Now there's help. Introducing the Merck Prescription Discount Program. You may be eligible for discounts of 15 to 40% on Merck drugs regardless of age or income. Call 1-800-50-MERCK to enroll. It's free to join and there are no membership costs. The new Merck Prescription Discount Program. It's one more way Merck puts patients first. Call 1-800-50-MERCK.
What's on the mind of today's teenagers? Find out on T3, Talk Totally for Teens. Log on at WGNU.net.
Last week marked the 60th anniversary of the use of nuclear weapons on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Did you know that for decades the government refused to allow newsreel footage of the devastation to be seen by the American public? Americans never did get a true understanding of how deadly the bomb was, nor why the use of them was so broadly condemned around the world. Images on walls of vaporized human beings. Grotesque burning of men, women, and children. Greg Mitchell, editor of Editor and Publisher, will join us Wednesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call to examine the Hiroshima cover-up, courtesy of Uncle Sam.
To me, summer is family time, a time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do, which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerang. I like to ride them all. Of course, Worlds of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine loved the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played, took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then, if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head, and then the tube ride, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls. And finally, the wave pool. Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with the ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open daily. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
Next on Mondays at 9, we recently told you the story of William Rodriguez, the head janitor at the World Trade Center, who said there was an explosion in the basement of the tower just before it was hit by an airplane. Now, there's also some scientific evidence that the collapse of the building was a controlled demolition. And if that's the case, was it an inside job? Professor Morgan Reynolds of Texas A&M University says the official version of why the trade towers collapsed is suspect, because it would mean the original engineering data was wrong, too. Don't miss this provocative discussion with Professor Morgan Reynolds on the next edition of Mondays at 9. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
What's your number, baby? This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll-free long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. 454 1-800-400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. I think a lot of people, it's that time of the year where folks start thinking about sending their babies off to school. And I'm not talking about elementary schools. Oh, before I get to that, I do want to say, you know, that whole tax-free weekend thing, while I had initially thought that it was a good thing, it's a ripoff. I mean, it doesn't go far enough to matter. $50 is what you're allowed to spend on school supplies, but you can spend up to $3,000 for computers. Now, I haven't been to college in a while. I haven't had to go back to school to college for a good little while. I didn't realize it was costing $3,000 for computers. And if that's the case, then good. But for the mother, the father, the grandmother, the grandfather, the aunt, the uncle, the sister, the brother, that has to buy, if you have a couple of brothers and sisters in elementary school, $50 doesn't go a long way for school supplies. $50 doesn't go, $100 doesn't go a long way for clothing. It appears to be more than what it is. It appears to be more than what it is. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
I think she's over the awarding of contract for the Iraq rebuilding over there.
Start over again, please.
Pardon me?
Start over again, please.
Yesterday I was reading an article about an African-American woman. She's over the awarding of the contract for the rebuilding of Iraq.
Okay.
And she had spoke out on C-SPAN about Mr. Hallenberger getting contracts with no opposition.
No bid contracts.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been demoted.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually talking about terminating her.
I bet they are. I bet they are.
Yeah, and I just thought that was kind of outrageous.
It is outrageous.
She's in charge of the taxpayers' money, and she's doing what she thinks is in the best interest of the taxpayer. And the United States government has pretty much said that they're going to do what they want to do.
That is correct.
And I just thought, you know, I read it, and I was so blown away by it.
Yeah, well, it's very consistent with what we have seen. You don't get rewarded for... You get rewarded if you continue to break the law, like Bolton got promoted. You get rewarded like other people within the administration. You don't follow the law. You advocate against the law. You become the attorney general, like Alberto Gonzalez. So the trick is it's kind of a flip-flop alter universe type of a thing. It's the what is it? What remember when you were a kid, you played opposite day.
Mm-hmm.
It's opposite day in this administration that you do bad and good things happen to you. You
right.
do good
and
bad things happen to you.
Our elected officials, I just don't see why there isn't any outcry about that.
There's not enough because there are people like Congressman John Conyers, who 70 something years old and out there kicking butt, taking names. But other folks out there that have higher positions, like United States senators, people like Hillary Clinton are saying, you know, can't we all just get along?
Yeah.
So there you go.
I just thought I'd share that with you.
All right, thanks for sharing.
Have a good day.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. We're going to take a break. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me.
Treat you the way that I do. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? There's nothing too good for a boy, that's so true. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? But you some catch me.
My name is Craig Skubik. I'm the host of The Adjustment Zone every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Along with my co-host, Dr. Shane May, we provide an insight to the advantages and benefits of chiropractic care by answering your questions and listening to your comments. We also take your email. We cover everything from improving your overall health to the science behind it. That's The Adjustment Zone. With me, Craig Skubik, and Dr. Shane May, every Saturday afternoon at 3, only on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Visit the Jay Hengis Shooting Range at 1100 Antire Road in High Ridge for shooting classes for the physically disabled. The classes will be held on Friday, August 12th from 7 to 9:30 p.m. and on Saturday, August 13th from 9 a.m. to noon. Bring your own shotgun, ammo, and eye and ear protection. A limited number of shotguns will be available to borrow if you don't have one. Dress for the outdoors. Class size is limited and registration is required by August 10th. Sign up by calling 636-441-4554. News to you from WGNU.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline New York. The Bush administration is considering denying a visa to the new conservative president of Iran in an effort to prevent him from addressing the United Nations. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad was to speak to the Millennium Summit and Annual General Assembly in September. His application was submitted this past week. The Bush administration thinks he was involved in the Iran hostage crisis in 1979, and if it can be confirmed, he will likely not be permitted to enter the U.S. This would be a highly unusual move to deny a head of state the right to enter. Former American diplomats claim Ahmadinejad was one of their captors, but the CIA has so far been unable to confirm those allegations. The U.S. did deny former PLO chairman Yasser Arafat entry back in 1988, but he wound up speaking to the U.N. in Geneva. And Dateline Baghdad. A new twist has developed in the case of the American journalist who was shot to death last week. Stephen Vincent was abducted last Tuesday by several armed men. He was later found shot to death outside the city of Basra. Preliminary information led authorities to believe he may have been killed for writing articles that linked police in Basra to death squads infiltrated by Shia extremists. But so far, no group has claimed responsibility for the killing, and this indicates it is unlikely there is any terrorist involvement. It has also been uncovered that Vincent promised to marry his Iraqi interpreter, who was also abducted with him. She was shot as well, but she survived. It is known that the relationship angered many local people, and there had been threats of retribution. In an even more bizarre twist, Vincent was already married to a woman here in the U.S. and had been for 13 years. But she apparently was aware of his plan to marry the interpreter so that she could relocate to the U.S. This is your wake-up call global news update. Last week marked the 60th anniversary of the use of nuclear weapons on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Did you know that for decades the government refused to allow newsreel footage of the devastation to be seen by the American public? Americans never did get a true understanding of how deadly the bomb was, nor why the use of them was so broadly condemned around the world. Images on walls of vaporized human beings. Grotesque burning of men, women, and children. Greg Mitchell, editor of Editor and Publisher, will join us Wednesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call to examine the Hiroshima cover-up, courtesy of Uncle Sam.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop, but I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes, and to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated. The birds and fish are still dying, and most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Do they play jazz in heaven? In New Orleans, we know they do.
If your family hasn't been to New Orleans, y'all haven't lived.
Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan your trip to Six Flags New Orleans, Audubon Zoo, Aquarium of the Americas, and more. Hop on the new Canal streetcar line, see gators up close, and roll in a riverboat down the mighty Mississippi. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today for great hotel rates and a free Good Times guide with more than $2,400 in coupons. And jazz up your family's next vacation in New Orleans.
You know, if there's a paradise, it's an afternoon in Jackson Square. But if they play jazz in heaven, darling, it's standing room only up there.
NewOrleansOnline.com, happening every day.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. Get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Don't forget, check out LizBrown.com. Check out the blog at Blogitude, and then Blogitude STL. We have much to talk about. Check out the new column and Through Brown Eyes. My goodness. We have much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Liz, you know, it's amazing how some people can hear something that's going on in this administration and hear someone that's involved in it sit and tell what has happened to them, and they still support whatever's going on with this government. I was at a family reunion during the 4th of July, and this young man had been over in Iraq, and he was sitting there. He had been wounded, and he was sitting there, and he was telling us, some of us that were sitting around him, how the Americans would have soldiers to be killed in Iraq, and they would take some to the hospital. He said they took him and about seven more that was wounded. They had about four that was killed. They swept them up and took them to the hospital knowing they were dead. And they don't report all these soldier casualties of war.
Wait a minute, Mary, I don't understand what you're saying.
Well,
these are Americans?
Was killed in Iraq,
mm-hmm,
in the war.
Okay.
And when they come around to take them to the hospital.
When who comes around? Like when
the helicopter.
Okay.
They take them to the hospital, and when they take them to the hospital, they also sweep the ones up that's dead and take them to the hospital as wounded, and they do not report them as wounded. Do you understand what I'm saying now?
Yes, I do.
And I thought that was awful, so we were discussing it, and this lady sat there, and she heard him say that, and she said, oh, he's not a doctor. He doesn't know whether they were dead or not. Sometimes people look like they're dead, but they're not. They are alive. And I said, no. I said, he said they would be dead. They would be sitting there before the helicopter would take them to the hospital, and they knew they were dead. So they're not really reporting the war people that's killed in war, actually.
No, we're gonna have a show on that too, about the undercounting of the American dead. I know that it doesn't even make any sense that we only have 1,800 people dead. That doesn't even make any kind of sense.
Well, he says double, triple what they're saying from what he has experienced. I don't know whether he was allowed to say, you know, tell us that, because I think they take an oath or something not to tell the problems in the war.
All right, thanks.
Okay,
for your
you have
call.
A good day.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll free long distance me, do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake up call.
Good morning, number one. I respect you.
Good morning.
The brother was talking about Bunny Greenhouse. That was her name. She was the principal assistant, and she was responsible for the contracting. This sister is 60 years old. She has three major degrees. And she helped set up and feed, clothe, and shelter some of the troops for some of the companies that she authorized to go in to the Middle East, serve the troops, spoil food. Okay? She was on C-SPAN, and she said something about it's not right, and something's wrong with this profitable business all of a sudden. And now she's got questions about the contracts, and they're calling her a whistleblower now.
Yeah, well, we'll see if they whistleblow her out of her job, because that's more than likely what's going to happen from this administration.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. The lady down there in Crawford, Texas, she's down there where little boy George is taking his 5-week vacation here.
Well, the woman's name is Cindy Sheehan, and Cindy Sheehan has been on the show before.
Yeah.
She's
okay.
Been on the show before with John Boniface.
And the Veterans for Peace.
And the Veterans for
Peace.
Right. Yes, she's been
and
on
she
the
says
show
she's
before.
Staying down there to somebody come and tell me something.
We expect to be talking to her tomorrow.
Oh, great. Because
okay?
I'll talk to you.
All right, thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Yes, Cindy Sheehan, whose son was killed in Iraq, has a few questions for George W. Bush as he takes another, 319, so I guess it's 320, 321 days so far. He's been on vacation, 50-something vacation days a year. He's in Crawford, Texas with his vacation. I think that it's his job to go out and talk to her. It's his job to go out there and talk to a mother who has actually lost a son in the war. He should talk to her. Period dot. What are you scared of? What are you concerned about? What don't you want the public to see? And it's going to be interesting to see what this Cindy Sheehan, what this turns into. Because that's a very courageous thing. And I'm going to talk about how they're treating this mother of a son who gave his life up for this country. It's going to be very interesting. I'm going to talk about that when I get back. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Ooh, we'll be back. Stay with me.
The hard truth is
is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble than ever.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. No shuttle landing this morning because of thick clouds over Cape Canaveral. We'll have more on that shortly. But first, tributes are coming in from all over for ABC newsman Peter Jennings, who died yesterday. Former Secretary of State Colin Powell issued a statement calling Jennings a great man whose reassuring presence will be missed. Former NBC News anchor Tom Brokaw tells ABC's Good Morning America he and Jennings were friends.
We were not just competitors and colleagues. We were really friends. We had a lot of opportunities to reflect on this in the last year. It was a competitive brotherhood.
Jennings, a former heavy smoker, announced in April that he'd been diagnosed with lung cancer. And ABC's Barbara Walters tells us,
I want to give the message, if any of you have kids who are smoking, for heaven's sake, tell them that we lost Peter.
Peter Jennings died at his New York City home without pain. His family was at his side. He was 67. You can read more about Peter Jennings' career by logging on to abcnews.com. Just too cloudy this morning over Cape Canaveral.
We just can't get comfortable with the stability of the situation for this particular opportunity.
So NASA is keeping the shuttle Discovery in orbit an extra day. ABC's Vic Ratner has more from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida.
The man in charge of the landing, flight controller Leroy Kane, told us he wants to bring Discovery down somewhere tomorrow. There are two landing opportunities here at the Kennedy Space Center early in the morning. If they don't work, more opportunities to land in California or New Mexico. NASA would rather land the space shuttle here in Florida.
ABC's Vic Ratner reporting. Saddam Hussein's family is breaking up his Jordan-based legal team and will keep just one lawyer. An attorney says the family wanted just one voice to speak for the former Iraqi president. Saddam's legal team included 1,500 volunteers. This is ABC News.
So you had the big meeting yesterday. The boss was cranky from 6 hours on the red eye. Dan left the presentation in the cab, and you sat on a 4-inch window ledge for 90 minutes.
Next time, web conference with Microsoft Office Live Meeting and have a more productive meeting without leaving your office. Present to clients around the globe, collaborate in real time, even get instant feedback by taking a live poll.
Try it free for 14 days at Microsoft.com/WorkLive. That's Microsoft.com/WorkLive or call 1-877-MEET-WEB today.
This Walmart opening has made a difference to a lot of people because this was a community that did need jobs.
When you lose your job, you're lost.
Walmart provided 450 jobs.
I think we really changed some lives when we opened the store.
And I'm glad to see that it happened here in Gastonia.
Now that we've built this place from the ground up, it's much closer to our hearts.
It gives us a real good sense of the future. Walmart will be there.
This is the store we needed as much as it needed us.
A special thank you for the naval officer who helped save the lives of 7 Russian crewmen trapped in a small sub.
Marking the nick of time rescue, British Naval Commander Ian Riches has been awarded with a Russian wristwatch by Moscow's top defense chief. Riches led the remote-controlled submersible team whose unmanned vehicle managed to cut the Russian sub free from nets and cable some 600 feet down. And those Russian sailors were just hours away from perishing, with oxygen levels dropping and carbon dioxide levels rising amid the clammy, dark, cold confines of the small, stricken sub. Tom Rivers, ABC News, London.
A court date is set for next month after an Arkansas truck driver claimed he suffered severe bruises during a birthday bash at a local night spot. He was paddled by 3 exotic dancers who claimed they didn't smack him all that hard. But the birthday boy claims his bruises were so severe he couldn't sit comfortably for 5 days. I'm Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, I'm Chris Lane, and this WGNU News Report is brought to you by Heritage for the Blind. A 14-year-old male is dead following a shooting in the 500 block of Eiler early Sunday morning. Police say the victim was found lying on the sidewalk with a single puncture wound to the right side of his head. Investigators say the unknown shooting suspect emerged from a gangway and began shooting at the victim before fleeing the area on foot. Stephen Talbot is now the former police chief of O'Fallon. After meeting last week with the chief, O'Fallon Mayor Donna Morrow, and the Board of Aldermen voted to fire Talbot. Mayor Morrow says among the grounds for Talbot's firing include charges of failure to comply with orders, favoritism, and inadequate supervision in the conduct of criminal investigation. Captains Jerry Schulte and Michael Skeen will be interim co-chiefs until a permanent replacement for Talbot is named. Talbot has been on administrative leave with pay since July 16th, and he believes his firing is political retaliation. Missouri's July employment numbers are expected to be released this week, and by all indications, the numbers will be good news. Paul Sloka of the Missouri Department of Economic Development says that from January to June, Missouri added 40,000 new jobs.
You know, we are very pleased by those numbers. Obviously, the economy is starting to pick up, and Missouri is reaping some of the benefits of the national recovery, along with some of the policies of the governor and promoting kind of a pro-jobs agenda.
According to data released last week, the U.S. job market added 207,000 employees in July. That figure is higher than predicted, with an increase of nearly 20,000 people. And finally, local and federal officials are launching a campaign to inform seniors about the upcoming enrollment for Medicare prescription benefits. Starting in October, a book will be available that lists details of how to enroll in the plan and includes state-specific information. The first round of enrollment for the Medicare prescription benefit opens on November 15th and will remain open until May 15th, 2006. The benefits go into effect on January 1st, 2006. The St. Louis Area Agency on Aging is offering information sessions on the Medicare drug benefit at library branches across the city of St. Louis. For a program schedule, call 314-612-5918. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE. For hassle-free pickup, 1-800-2-DONATE or visit taxfreededuction.com. That's the news for the 7 o'clock hour. Now here's Howard Morton with a look at traffic.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Northbound 55 between Merrimack Bottom and 270, no problems report. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler all the way into 270, everything's on the move. Eastbound 40 between Mason and 270, everything is rolling steady. Eastbound 70 between Earth City Expressway all the way into 170, no problems there. Northbound 270 from 44 to Big Bend is looking good. Westbound 270 from Riverview all the way into Washington Elizabeth, nothing to report there. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge, 255, no problems there. Westbound 70 at the Press Section and Madison, that traffic has returned back to normal following an earlier accident. Westbound 5570 split from Route 3 onto the PSB. Look for stop-and-go traffic already in your 7 o'clock hour. Westbound 64 from 15th Street onto the PSB, no problems there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank to Laclede's Landing. Look for very heavy volume this hour. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from Queenie onto the Poplar Street Bridge. It is a brief slowdown, but everything's still moving along fine. In both directions, Tesson Ferry between Lindbergh and Gravois. There's paving operations southbound Lindbergh at Lime Ferry. There's road construction. The left lane is closed. Eastbound 40 at Van Deventer. That exit is closed through August. Due to construction, you can use Kings Highway Market or Grand exits to get around that area in both directions. Natural Bridge between Air Flight and 70, there is maintenance operations going on this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Sitting in traffic thinking about your to-do list? If buying a used car is on that list, don't buy it without a Carfax Vehicle History Report. Ask your dealer or go to Carfax.com for details. That's Carfax.com for details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies today with a high in the lower 90s. For this evening, mostly clear with a low around in the mid-70s. For Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-90s. Tuesday evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-70s. And Wednesday, hot, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 75 degrees under mostly sunny skies, but with some haze. Lambert Field is reporting 75 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-9468. Long distance email revolution at LizBrown.com. Website LizBrown.com. We broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. I am archived daily on the WhiteRoseSociety.org. So check out, you miss an hour, go get an hour at the WhiteRoseSociety.org. My goodness, we have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. Kevin, good morning.
How are you doing, Ms. Brown?
I'm outstanding.
I love what you're doing. Have you ever heard of John Hendrick Clark?
Of course.
I'm telling you, Ms. Brown, this brother did a documentary. I mean, it just...
Yeah, we did that, but we watched the documentary. You're talking about A Long Walk Home.
Oh, my God.
And we did that documentary as part of the book club that we did.
I'd rather be late than not catching it off.
Yep.
I wanted to ask you something. How do you think the Europeans would have developed if they would have left Africa alone, and how do you think Africa would have developed if they left them alone? Who do you think would be the superpower today?
Well, you know, I don't even know that I would think of it in terms of superpower, but I know about I believe about the center of commerce and the center of of trade and all of that. I don't, you know, it's hard to project if Africa would have done what Europeans have done in terms of weaponry. It's hard to project that, but in looking at what they have done prior to the invasion, I think that you can predict that things would have continued to go, you know, they would have continued building pyramids.
You know what? I hear a lot of Europeans talking a lot of garbage. I wish they knew their true history. I think they wouldn't be so arrogant. You have a nice day.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll-free long-distance me, do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And, you need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And I want to talk about some brave things that people are doing. I want to talk about Cindy Sheehan this morning. You know her. She's been on the show. And she is part of Gold Star Families for Peace. She's 48 years old. And she says she's angry. Her son was killed in Iraq. She's angry. And she says that she asked the question. She wants George W. Bush. And I think it's a fair question. I think it's an awfully fair question. She said, I'm angry. I want the troops home. And she wants to personally ask Bush, why did you kill my son? What did my son die for? I think those are two fair questions. I think that they are two realistic questions. I think that those are questions that, given the place that George Bush finds himself in, sitting in the Oval Office, that he is obligated to answer. She said, I want to know why my son died. And why did you kill him? Sheehan is not alone. She is among the grieving families that met with him. I'm in shock. I was in shock then. I'm in shock now. All of the reports. See, what is interesting is that Sheehan was with a group of parents whose children had lost their lives in the occupation. 2 months after her son lost his life, he was killed in Sadr City in Iraq on April 4th, 2004. Since then, she said, various government and independent commission reports have disputed the administration claims that Saddam Hussein had mass killing chemical and biological weapons. We all know that. All of those reports prove that my son died needlessly. This proved that every reason George Bush gave us for going to war was wrong. Now, what is interesting is that George W. Bush and others are starting to feel the heat of this a little bit. A little bit. She said that she talked Saturday with Steve Hadley, Bush's national security advisor. She talked to Joe Hagan, Deputy White House Chief of Staff. But she said that's not George W. Bush. He's the one that stood up in front of the cameras, stood up in front of the world, and told us the reasons why we were going to war. So Cindy Sheehan has said while she's appreciative of their attention, she planned to continue her protests along the road during Bush's stay through the end of the month. Now, here's the thing. Today is August 8th, right? Bush is going to be in Crawford, Texas to the end of August. You know, there is something just wrong. There are many things that are just plain wrong about that. How are you going to be on vacation for the entire month of August? And she's going to be out there. She is going to be out there until the end of August. She said, she's going to stay there along the road during Bush's stay through the end of the month. Then she said, I'll camp on as long in D.C. until he has the courtesy, the integrity, and the compassion to talk to someone whose life has been ruined. This woman lost her baby. She lost her son, 25 years old. And she says, I firmly believe, and I will echo my son's feelings on this, it is very, very important for our country to remain steadfast and to continue to challenge this administration. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Here's a scary comparison, y'all. Here's a scary, scary comparison. Experts are saying that the Al-Qaeda, you say Al-Qaeda, I say Al-Qaeda, that they are mutating into satellites. You want to hear the scary comparison? Check this out. There are Al-Qaeda recruiters going into schools. Al-Qaeda has recruiters in schools. One person, a commodity trader guy who's had a friend who died in the London bombings a few weeks back, he said he saw recruiters, Al-Qaeda recruiters, hanging out at Bradford University. The students would watch how other students got recruited. Jenkins said that, and here's the comparison, y'all. Check this out. Jenkins said that Al-Qaeda recruiters were very good at spotting the vulnerable, often young men undergoing personal crises, whether drugs, crimes, joblessness, poverty, or spiritual hunger. They offered an ideology that explains the difficulty and provides a new mindset. Huh. That sound familiar, y'all? Where are the army recruiters now trolling for new recruits? Do they go to Ladue High School? Do they go to Clayton High School? Or do they go to poor high schools out in Winsfield, out in Jefferson County? They go there? And who do they prey upon when they get to poor high schools? They prey upon the most vulnerable. How comfortable does it make you feel that the recruiting strategies that are being used by our good government are the same recruiting strategies that are being used by the Al-Qaeda? How comfortable does that make you feel? How much does that make you question what it is that you are doing, that our government is doing? These are crazy, crazy times. We have the same people. We have the same practices being done for what would be argued are two fundamentally different events. Fighting for the U.S. government, fighting for the Al-Qaeda. But the same methods of recruitment are being used for both. What does that say? What does that say about us? And just in case you were wondering, well, whether or not the Iraqi people are going to have their constitution in place, well, they are now launching into marathon negotiations, seeking to overcome formidable obstacles blocking the agreement on the draft. I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening. August 15th is the deadline for when the Constitution has to be completed. But don't worry. Feel good about things. Life is looking up. Always look on the sunny side of life. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice said the insurgency was losing its steam. I guess when she called up the families in Ohio and the National Guard, all those people that lost their babies, and the dozens that were killed, I guess they'll be glad to know that the insurgency is losing steam politically. Isn't that some stuff? Doesn't that just make you want to spit or cuss? Condoleezza Rice has said the insurgency was losing its steam as a political force. If you think about how to defeat an insurgency, you defeat it not just militarily but politically. So where's the evidence that they have been defeated politically and militarily? What would the evidence of that be when there's a front page story about the Al-Qaeda is now mutating into satellites, many recruiting stations? They're in the same places. If this wasn't so awful, it would be comical. If this wasn't so tragic, it might be funny. You can almost see a Saturday Night Live skit of competing interests, the United States military and the Al-Qaeda, competing for our students. Because they both use the exact same tactic. These are scary times. Scary times. Al-Qaeda recruiters at schools. And just when you thought that you didn't, that you felt safe enough, oh, Lord, there was a group of people that went to the United States Congress. And they said that they think that they need guns. They need to be packing. Who are these people? They are the campus police officers. They already have uniforms, marked cars, and bulletproof vests. I guess maybe campus police have changed since I attended college. But they're the last people that I think should have guns. What kind of world do we live in? You go to other countries, nobody is as heavily armed as we are. No country is. Outside of countries that are in the middle of insurgencies, in the middle of wars, nobody is as armed as we are. And nobody kills as much as we do of our own citizens. 454-0400 is my phone number. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. 454-0400, 1-877-920. Get to me. I could last for long, but now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gon' come.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at the Sowers traffic and weather. Sowers traffic is sponsored by Fazoli's Restaurants. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and 270, everything's running smoothly. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack River Bridge all the way to 270, no problems there. Eastbound 40 from 141 all the way into Mason Road, look for no problems there. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and 79, no problems to report in your 730 commute. Northbound 270 from 44 to Big Bend, everything's on the move. Westbound 270 from Riverview all the way to Washington Elizabeth, everything's moving steady. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on to the PSB. You've got stop and go traffic this hour. Westbound 64 to 5570 split and Poplar Street Bridge. Look for no problems to report. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way on to the Poplar, all the way on to Laclede's Landing. Look for heavy volume this hour. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from Queenie on to the Poplar Street Bridge. No problems there. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Fazoli's Restaurants. Try Fazoli's new Italian meat sampler for only $3.99 and enjoy Fazoli's new cinnamon or cheese breadsticks, only 49 cents for two with an entree. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly cloudy, high in the lower 90s today. Mostly clear with a low in the mid-70s this evening for tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-90s. Tomorrow evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-70s. And then on Wednesday, hot, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 75 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 75 as well. Both have a little bit of haze outside. Other than that, it's sunny skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I believe the children are our future. Words in a song, beautiful words. Even more beautiful when those words are put into action. Since 1994, Hope for the Nations has believed the children are the world's future, and they've done more than just sing about it. Hope for the Nations is turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders by providing security that lets children grow into confident, skilled young people, by actively training these young people to be not only productive, but also leaders in their society, and by providing micro-enterprise business models that enable them to become self-sufficient. In nearly 20 countries, from Mexico to Malawi, Hope for the Nations puts those words into action every day. See for yourself online at www.hopeforthenations.com. Then put your words into action. www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994.
Hello out there, radio land. This is Pastor A.A. Boyd, a proud pastor of the Holy Olivet Baptist Church. I come on this radio station every Saturday, the Glory Time broadcast from 7 to 7:30. Will you turn me on? You'll certainly be glad you did. And God bless you.
Last week marked the 60th anniversary of the use of nuclear weapons on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Did you know that for decades the government refused to allow newsreel footage of the devastation to be seen by the American public? Americans never did get a true understanding of how deadly the bomb was, nor why the use of them was so broadly condemned around the world. Images on walls of vaporized human beings. Grotesque burning of men, women, and children. Greg Mitchell, editor of Editor and Publisher, will join us Wednesday morning at 9 on the wake-up call to examine the Hiroshima cover-up, courtesy of Uncle Sam.
I started using drugs and alcohol when I was about 12 years old. I was bored and I thought drugs would be exciting. I hung out with like the older crowd and just kind of did it socially at first. By the time I was 15, my whole life turned upside down.
I started doing drugs because I was shy. I wanted to fit in. All my friends were using drugs and it looked like they were having a good time.
I thought using drugs was a good way of dealing with stress.
I was insecure about a lot of things. You know, I was pretty shy. My parents must have told me a million times, don't do drugs, you know, they'll ruin your life. Now I know what they all meant.
People often begin using drugs as a solution to a problem. Eventually, the drug use itself becomes a much greater problem.
I can't quit.
I'm addicted. So are my friends.
I'm losing my family.
I can't stop.
I lost my job. I almost lost my life. I need help.
Call Narcanon Arrowhead today at 1-800-468-6933.
Next on Mondays at 9, we recently told you the story of William Rodriguez, the head janitor at the World Trade Center, who said there was an explosion in the basement of the tower just before it was hit by an airplane. Now, there's also some scientific evidence that the collapse of the building was a controlled demolition. And if that's the case, was it an inside job? Professor Morgan Reynolds of Texas A&M University says the official version of why the trade towers collapsed is suspect, because it would mean the original engineering data was wrong, too. Don't miss this provocative discussion with Professor Morgan Reynolds on the next edition of Mondays at 9. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning morning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Every ghetto, every city, and suburban place I've been, make me recall my days in the New Jerusalem. You know it's hot, don't forget what you got. Looking back, looking back, looking back, looking back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of way, every kind of way, all kinds of ways, get up or get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. There was a horrible tragedy over the weekend. There was a woman whose son was killed in a fire, 7-year-old baby. Right there on Maple. Scary, scary thing where, you know, your house catches on fire, you hear your baby screaming for you, crying for you, and you can't get to your child. And what I think is interesting is that within this story is another story. They talked about how this baby, Calvin Sangster Jr., was in the house when the house caught on fire. They described Calvin as a happy, fun-loving child. He attended Gundlach Elementary School, but he was going to transfer to a county school, McKeeley Elementary School. Still lived on Maple, but was going to transfer. Buried in that story is another tragedy, is the tragedy of these children, thousands of kids leaving the St. Louis public schools. His baby lived on Maple, attended a public school here in the city of St. Louis. And his parents were doing the right thing for him, moving him out of the St. Louis public schools until this tragedy.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, you can do that at Liz Brown. Oh, no, at Revolution at LizBrown.com. That's revolution at LizBrown.com. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. I don't know. Last week we talked a little bit about the difference between how women receive different types of medical care than men do, that there's not as much medical investigation, experimental drugs, time spent on women's issues as there are on men's issues. But here's something that the gender issues that confront this nation of ours are complex and absurd. There's so many things that keep things from happening that should be happening based upon gender. Check this out. There's a couple that was fighting. Physically fighting, married couple. One of the spouses threw some punches and kicks and went to jail. The other spouse went back to the jail and went to the police department and had the charges dropped against the spouse. It's not a particularly unusual story, except for the fact that the person that asked for the charges to be dropped was the husband. And the person that received the blows was the husband. And what is interesting is the woman who was beating her husband is the woman who headed Madison County's drug court. And what is even more interesting is that the same night that the woman, Terry Motha, coordinator of Madison County's drug program, she hit her husband in the head with her fist. She kicked him in the leg. She threw three glasses of hot water on him. She was charged with domestic battery, resisting arrest. And after she got in jail, her husband went and asked that the charges be dropped against her. But the same night that this woman ended up in jail, a man's fatally beaten body was found in the Belleville home that he shared with his ex-wife. She was charged with his murder. His body was found in a reclining chair. He had been beaten to death with a baseball bat or a club. Well, we just seem genderly precluded from talking about these issues. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Brown. I just wanted to tell you this about how you talk all the time to us about how it's not about the crime, but who stands accused. Now, on television this morning, Katie Couric has this caption, Jackson jury flip-flop. In other words, they are not letting this go, just like they don't let the O.J. Simpson trial go. Every chance they get, they're trying to bring something up on O.J. Now, two of the jurors were on somebody else's show, and now Katie has that person speaking. But they don't want to let this go. They said he was not guilty, so why can't he stay not guilty? I mean, these folks don't let this go.
Yes,
I think it's just terrible.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thanks for your call.
What'd you say?
Thanks for your call.
All right.
All right. Yes. We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. The wake-up call, 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And found not guilty, let them stay not guilty. Ain't that the truth? I'll be back.
Is AM 920 WGNU. Catch us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
Last week marked the 60th anniversary of the use of nuclear weapons on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Did you know that for decades the government refused to allow newsreel footage of the devastation to be seen by the American public? Americans never did get a true understanding of how deadly the bomb was, nor why the use of them was so broadly condemned around the world. Images on walls of vaporized human beings. Grotesque burning of men, women, and children. Greg Mitchell, editor of Editor and Publisher, will join us Wednesday morning at 9 on the wake-up call to examine the Hiroshima cover-up courtesy of Uncle Sam. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Moscow. All seven men aboard a Russian sub trapped 600 feet below the surface in the Pacific Ocean were rescued on Sunday. The sub had gotten hung up on an anchor cable of a coastal observation station and was unable to move. The oxygen supply was dwindling and reportedly had less than a day left. A British naval crew lowered an unmanned rescue craft into the water and was able to use cable cutting equipment to cut away the cable. Lines were then attached to the sub and was hauled to the surface. And Dateline Crawford, Texas. A former guest on the Wake Up Call show held a protest near the president's ranch in Texas on Saturday. Cindy Sheehan of Gold Star Families for Peace lost a son in Iraq last year and is demanding an accounting of how the president has conducted the war. She was unable to see Mr. Bush, but did get to speak with National Security Advisor Steve Hadley and Deputy Chief of Staff Joe Hagan. She said she decided to come to his ranch after she heard the president say that fallen Americans had died for a noble cause and the mission must be completed. A group of about 50 people marched with her for about half a mile before they were stopped by the local sheriff's department for failing to obey instructions to walk in a ditch beside the road. They only got as close as 5 miles to the entrance of the president's ranch. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. 9913. That's 800-376-9913.
Next on Mondays at 9, we recently told you the story of William Rodriguez, the head janitor at the World Trade Center, who said there was an explosion in the basement of the tower just before it was hit by an airplane. Now, there's also some scientific evidence that the collapse of the building was a controlled demolition. And if that's the case, was it an inside job? Professor Morgan Reynolds of Texas A&M University says the official version of why the trade towers collapsed is suspect, because it would mean the original engineering data was wrong, too. Don't miss this provocative discussion with Professor Morgan Reynolds on the next edition of Mondays at 9. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me, we have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
This is Al, and I'm calling about something. It doesn't make too much sense, maybe. But I understand that last week I tried to call you about three times. You said, I agree with you about what you said about women and men. But it's one thing that I know
if you could
about
turn your, if you could turn
Viagra
your,
thing.
If you could turn your radio down in the background, that would be great.
Oh, okay. Sure. I'm going to turn it off. I'm going to turn it off. There's one thing I know about this Viagra. Now, I wouldn't use it because it does something to your heart, and to some people's heart. And you say women didn't have anything like that, but they do. It's called Actimel. It's on the TV, and they explain to the women, you know, what it's all about. It's the same thing as Viagra for the men, but I wouldn't use it because for health reasons.
Well, my point is not that there are no things out there with regard to Viagra. My point is that the focus of medical experimentation, the focus of medical trials, the focus of medical pursuit of particular types of pharmaceutical solutions to people's health issues, the focus has largely been on males.
Right, right, I agree with that. That was just one point that I, you know, didn't think you knew about.
Mm-hmm.
And that is out there because you did mention something about Viagra for men.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
sir.
Why did they have something for women?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to let you know and all the other women to know that they do have it, and they probably do know. Because it come on the TV all the time.
And that's the scary part, you know. Do you know that we are one of the few countries in the world that allow pharmaceutical companies to even advertise on television?
Yeah.
So thanks for your call, Al.
Okay, thank
All right.
you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You know, and one of the shows that we are going to be doing actually this week, I believe it's going to be on Wednesday, is a show on CAFTA and what CAFTA contains. And the codex component to CAFTA. I was talking to a couple of folks in the medical field over the weekend, and hipping them to what's going on, what's getting ready, what's fixing to happen with CAFTA. You know, it's with this codex thing, with the ability of our government to regulate your vitamins. Require prescriptions for vitamins, not allow vitamins to be sold of a certain size.
is it's so twisted. It is so twisted, because I guess where we are right now is people are actually trying to take their health into their own hands. They're trying to walk away. They're being forced financially to walk away from pharmaceutical solutions, but they're also walking away from it because they know more about these pharmaceutical, so-called pharmaceutical solutions. And what happens? How does our good government respond to this? It passes CAFTA by one vote. By one vote, it passes CAFTA. And brings us Codex. And we're going to be talking about that next week. This week. We're going to be talking about that on Wednesday. And my intern shows are going to be happening next week. Week after next. As well. We've got the intern shows that are going to be happening. And also, I'm a little concerned about this. And this is what happens when you are in this business. I am putting together a show about the black firefighters, what's happening to black firefighters here in the city of St. Louis. And interestingly enough, the last show that we did about 2 months ago, the beginning of the summer, we did a two-hour, an unexpected two-hour show. Started off with 1 hour and extended it into the next hour. It was a very compelling show about what was happening to black firefighters. As a result of that show, I received an email from the president of the White Firefighters Union requesting that we have allow the White Firefighters Union to come on and to have a discussion. And I was very excited about that. So I emailed him back saying that absolutely, yes, I would love to have a show with just you on. And then he offered up a debate with the Black Firefighters Union. Great show, right? I've emailed them and is it me? But I haven't heard anything back from the president of the White Firefighters Association. And we're going to have the show anyway. It is my hope that we will hear from them, but it's been 4 days since I sent off the email giving the date and the time, and I haven't heard anything because within the contents of the email, he made some allegations that what we were putting out over the air was wrong. And I said, oh, this is just terrific. Please, come on. I would love to. The email wasn't even cold yet when it hit my mailbox when I emailed him back and said, absolutely love to. Yes, let's do this. I didn't hear anything back from him then. I just thought, okay, well, he just got my email. He was cool. But I've emailed him with a date and a time. And go figure. Nobody has emailed me back. We're going to have the show anyway. And I'm going to give you an opportunity on my website to look at the email that he sent me and the email that I sent him back, just so that you all understand. And also some of the documentation that the black firefighters were referring to in their the story that they were on. So I'm going to show that they were on. So look forward to that next week, I believe it is next week. I believe it's next week. Or no, it's the 18th, whenever the 18th is. That's the next week, I guess. So you don't want to, actually the 16th, I'm sorry, it's the 16th. You don't want to miss that show. It's a week from tomorrow, next Tuesday. And look forward to this website thing. It's just going to be so exciting because you'll be able to see the complimentary documentation on the website. I don't understand. They won't email me back. What's up with that? I'm a big, strong, grown man. Email me back. You emailed me. Ooh, my name is Liz Brown. This is a wake-up call. We'll have another hour of your calls and comments and questions and concerns. And then we'll get into Mondays at 9 about how the World Trade Center collapse was a controlled demolition. But you knew that, didn't you? We're going to talk about that. Stay with me.
Beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with it.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress has been made. If you take a knife and knife out 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. Be careful, brother.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. President Bush will have something to say this afternoon on the death yesterday of Peter Jennings. Jennings meant so much to us at this network and to broadcast news. He was tough, tenacious, urbane, articulate, and generally unflappable no matter what. ABC News White House correspondent Ann Compton remembers.
To be on the other end of a live broadcast with Peter Jennings in the anchor chair was a challenge because he knew the story as intimately as we did, if not better. He knew the dusty back streets of the Middle East. He had walked the corridors of power with kings and despots and with the presidents I covered.
Peter Jennings' evening news competitors shared their thoughts this morning with ABC's Good Morning America. Former NBC News anchor Tom Brokaw.
The fact is that we were friends, and then he went on to say that we've all made each other better.
Former CBS News anchor Dan Rather spoke from Beirut, where he's on assignment.
How much did I keep an eye on him? Constantly. All the time. Never let him out of his sight. And if Peter Jennings was in the area code, I didn't sleep.
Peter Jennings died of lung cancer at home in New York City with his family at his side. He was 67. The shuttle Discovery was waved away from both landing opportunities this morning because of heavy clouds over Cape Canaveral. NASA's Kelly Humphreys says, let's try it again tomorrow morning.
All preparations in Mission Control and onboard Discovery will now be refocused toward the first opportunity to land at the Kennedy Space Center tomorrow.
Flight Director Leroy Kane says at this point, Edwards Air Force Base in California is looking like the better landing site.
We've got a very favorable forecast for Edwards really all week. We knew that going into today. The forecast for KSC is very similar to what it was today.
Well, the only problem is touchdown at Edwards Air Force Base adds at least $1 million to the mission budget because the shuttle has to be flown back to Florida strapped on the top of a jumbo jet. This is ABC News.
Have you ever thought you'd like to buy and sell houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready for a real home-based business that can get you out of the rat race and into financial freedom? Hi, this is Dolph DeRoos. I have engineered a proven system to real estate buying that will show you how to buy money-generating properties so you'll never have to work again. I'll send you a free tape that explains how easy it is.
Call 1-800-300-0464. 1-800-300-0464. 1-800-300-0464.
All right, what do we have?
Male patient trying to get a loan for a car.
They're checking his credit now.
What's the status?
Looks like he's got some credit problems.
Seen this before. What's his credit score?
He doesn't know, doctor.
What? He went for a loan without knowing his credit score?
We're losing the loan.
All right, I'm going to call it.
How's your financial health? With Score Power from Equifax, you get your credit report and credit score. It's the first step to healthy credit.
Doctor, there's a woman trying to buy a house without her credit score.
It's an epidemic.
Get the power. Score power at Equifax.com.
The committee trying to draft Iraq's constitution has postponed today's meeting because of weather, one of the worst sandstorms in Baghdad's history. ABC's Miguel Marquez is right in the thick of it.
Visibility is almost zero here in Baghdad. The international airport has been closed because of the weather. It is difficult to see almost anything in front of you, sort of a orangish haze hangs over the entire city. The dust, this fine dust, permeates everything from your lungs to every crack in every window.
Hospitals are packed with patients, many of them elderly, suffering from respiratory problems. The seven Russian sailors rescued from a trapped mini-sub are talking today about how they were running out of water as well as air. They also reportedly had written farewell letters to their families several hours after the sub became trapped. I'm Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, I'm Chris Lane, and this WGNU News Report is brought to you by Abso Pure Natural Spring Water. Investigators are looking into the murder of a man who was found on the floor of the Kaufman's salvage yard office on Friday morning. Police say a Robertsville, Missouri resident found the body when he went into the business to find a license plate bracket. The body has not yet been positively identified, and the cause of death has not been determined, although police say the death is suspicious and appears to be a homicide. Anyone with information is asked to call the Franklin County Sheriff's Office at 636-583-2560. An unidentified man is being applauded for stopping a murder-for-hire scheme. Madison County Sheriff's Captain Dennis Fisher says the man went to police after his friend, 42-year-old James Murphy, talked about killing his ex-wife and her new husband.
At first, the informant thought that he was joking, that he was not serious, but as the conversations went on over a period of time, he began to realize that they were, in fact, very, very serious.
Fisher says after the informant went to authorities, police began using surveillance and monitoring Murphy's conversations. Murphy was arrested late last week and charged with 2 counts of solicitation of murder. He remains jailed on $250,000 bond. A Cahokia teen remains jailed on charges stemming from the shooting death of a 22-year-old Belleville man. 16-year-old Anthony Bradley is charged with first-degree murder for the death of Obian Hawkins. Authorities say Bradley shot and killed Hawkins last Tuesday night outside the St. Clair Bowl. Bradley is being charged as an adult. He remains jailed on $1 million bond. And finally, Missouri's July employment numbers are expected to be released this week, and good news is expected. Paul Sloka of the Missouri Department of Economic Development says that from January to June, Missouri added 40,000 new jobs. Sloka says that's directly related to the national economic recovery. According to data released last week, the U.S. job market added 207,000 employees in July. That figure is higher than predicted, with an increase of nearly 20,000 people. It's hot out. Doesn't a nice cold glass of Abso Pure natural spring water sound good? Now get a cooler and 3 5-gallon bottles of Abso Pure water free. Yes, free. Call for details. 1-800, the number 4, Abso Pure. That's the news for the 8 o'clock hour. Now here's Howard Morton with a look at traffic.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We will look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and 270, no problems reported. Eastbound 44 between Merrimack River Bridge and 270, nothing is going on there as well. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road, everything's on the move. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79, no problems there. Northbound 270 between Gravoy and Big Bend, you've got stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 270 from Riverview to Washington and Elizabeth, look for normal traffic this hour. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way to 55 is going well this hour. Eastbound 40 between 170 and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 split from 3rd Street onto the PSB, stop-and-go traffic in your 8 a.m. commute. Westbound 64 between the 5570 split and the Poplar Street Bridge, no problems there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way on to Laclede's Landing is very heavy volume in your 8 a.m. commute. Northbound Route 3 on the approaches from Queenie onto the PSB, no problems to report there. In both directions, Tesson Ferry between Lindbergh and Gravoy. You've got paving operations southbound Lindbergh at Lime Ferry. There's road construction. The left lane is closed this hour. And eastbound 40 at Vandeventer, that exit is closed through August for construction. You can use Kings Highway Market or the Grand exits to get around the construction work area. That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. That's 1-800-2-DONATE. Or you can go to taxdeduction.com for more details. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies, they high in the lower 90s. For this evening, mostly clear with a low around the mid-70s. For Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, high in the mid-90s. Again, Tuesday evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-70s. And then on Wednesday, hot, partly cloudy skies, and a high in the mid-90s. Currently, at studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 76 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 75, both under sunny skies with haze. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake-Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and, weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Next on Mondays at 9, we recently told you the story of William Rodriguez, the head janitor at the World Trade Center, who said there was an explosion in the basement of the tower just before it was hit by an airplane. Now, there's also some scientific evidence that the collapse of the building was a controlled demolition. And if that's the case, was it an inside job? Professor Morgan Reynolds of Texas A&M University says the official version of why the trade towers collapsed is suspect, because it would mean the original engineering data was wrong, too. Don't miss this provocative discussion with Professor Morgan Reynolds on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, and if you want to toll-free long-distance me, please do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And, email me at lizbrown.com, at revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Patrice, good morning.
Yes, Liz, I'm calling to find out, do you know anything about this March to Heaven in Atlanta with Jesse Jackson on the Voting Rights Act?
No, I do not.
They said it was on this weekend over the news, and that they're marching down there, and they're supposed to be opening up this other case with Walter Williams and the kids that were killed in Atlanta because they found out new information, the fact that it was not Walter Williams, it was our government.
Actually, y'all are just, like, really feeling us here. We're working on the story right now. We just sent a letter off to get Walter Williams on the show.
Oh, really?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead on.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You must be reading our mind, because we were trying to, because I had heard about this story, and I put Ariana, one of our interns, on the Walter Williams story, and we sent the letter off trying to get him on the show. We've already contacted his attorney, and we're trying to get him on the show as we speak.
Well, I have a new name for you outside of your birth name, Liz Brown. I call you Harriet Tubman and Sojourner Truth. Thank you so much.
Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. And don't forget, check out the website at lizbrown.com. That's LIZZBROWN.com. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to us. You don't want to miss the next hour. The next hour we're going to be talking about how the World Trade Center collapse was a controlled demolition. We're going to have Professor Morgan Reynolds from Texas A&M University. He's going to be joining us on the wake-up call in the next hour to talk about at Mondays, on our Mondays at 9 edition. He's going to talk about how this was a controlled demolition. This was a controlled demolition. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to us. Alenzo, good morning.
Yes, ma'am. Top of the morning to you, Liz Brown, my sister in Christ. I heard earlier about some trying to get some help with kids' school supplies. Am I correct on that?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, for the parents out there that probably need some help with some kids' school supplies, I have a place where they can go get some help if I might,
sure,
you know, give it a name across the air.
Absolutely.
Okay, this is George Myers Dream Center, and they'll be giving out school supplies up in Front Ground Park Friday, August the 19th from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. And if they need the phone number, ma'am, it's 314-381-0700. And God bless you for letting me put that across the air, ma'am.
Of course. You take care of yourself.
454-0400
is my phone number. Mike, good morning.
OTEP, Liz.
Good morning.
Was wondering if, now, did I understand what I just heard correctly, that is there's going to be a reopening of the Wayne Williams case?
The Wayne Williams case, yes. I don't know if there's going to be a reopening of it, but I know that there's been a lot of talk about that it should be reopened.
Well, you know, when I was in college, I went to college down in Atlanta, and I was part of a student group. We held a two-day teach-in on the child murders because one of the parents was an alumnus of the college I went to, and they had some very interesting stories to tell. Even up to the point of being followed by Atlanta police officers, harassed by FBI agents.
Wait a minute, the parents of the children that were killed?
Parents of murdered children. They ran Camille Bell out of town. they ran her into Florida. That was Yusef Bell's mother.
Mm.
And even us as students, we were followed for holding this particular public forum.
This man, it made no sense. Wayne Williams made no sense that he killed all those babies. It just didn't make any sense.
There was some information that there were some people like independent private investigator. I can't think of Chet's last name. His position, along with some others, is that there was experimentation taking place. There was, you know, some theories like Klan ritual murder and stuff. But some folks felt the Center for Disease Control had a little something to do with this. It'll be interesting to see what, quote, new facts come up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing, have you heard the latest faux pas by your governor? I'm watching the news last week.
How you making my governor?
Well, I ain't vote for him.
I didn't vote for him either. So, again, my question is, okay, how would he be the governor? All right.
Okay. They sent these poor folks who have been cut off from Medicaid.
They sent them the wrong letters, didn't they?
A 1-800 number that is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they've also sent some poor woman's house in Wyoming.
And they also sent out letters to people that are wrong, saying that you were cut off when they weren't.
Right. And then, but get this, they say they're not going to correct the mistake, Liz. They said they're going to pay this woman when she gets calls from people to give folks the correct information. Now, I just have to ask all these conservative listeners who want to pinch every penny and keep track of every dollar, how much money is that wasting?
Well, you know, it seems to me that there are a whole lot of poor folks here in Missouri that are on Medicaid that could have used the money that they're giving this woman in Wyoming. And was Wyoming a red state or a blue state?
I believe it's a red state.
I believe so.
But this is what, I mean, this is mind-boggling.
It is.
You do this, and then you tell people, well, we're not going to correct the mistake. We're going to exacerbate it by paying the person to give you the right information. Well, how do you know that this is not a trained professional? How do you know she's giving you the right information? How do you know she even got it to give out?
How do you know that she's going to even answer her dang phone?
True enough. And then,
and all of the people in Missouri that could use the extra money. So, and remind you, there is she will be taking that Missouri money and spending it in Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're losing the tax money that comes from that. We're losing the job security that comes from that. This is just a gift to a red state. That's all.
Yeah, and I mean, we must be wealthy down here because we got all this money to give away. I guess we know what they're doing with the dollars that they cut folks off with now.
And I guess you understand what the definition of outsourcing is.
Oh, no doubt.
Okay, are you clear?
Kind of about your
governor? Are you clear about your governor?
Oh, yes, I'm clear.
All right.
And it's kind of like this Metrolink expansion.
Mm.
Where are the tax dollars going?
Mm.
With all these cost overruns that they can't explain. And my parting shot is I see the folks in Illinois finally starting to get it right. They're going to finally do away with Chief Alignment Week this year. And I just want to say to the students on the U of I campus over there in Champaign, Urbana, touche. You kept stabbing until you got the vital organ and made them back down.
Very good.
And to the Native American community, keep fighting. Go get the folks in
the Redskin. With the Redskin. Go get them.
And Jack Kent Cook next.
That's right. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Car phone.
Yes. I was just calling about the Williams case. I thought on 60 Minutes they had proved that it was impossible for him to have murdered those children.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe on the Feraldo show one time, they also talked about the government murdering the kids and something about the serum that are in the black males, you know. And then they had some mothers on stating that the murders didn't even stop after he was convicted and locked up.
That is correct. Just like the highway snipers didn't stop after they arrested that man and that baby, did they?
No, they did not.
There you go. There you go.
Thank you so much, Liz.
Thank you for your call.
Have a blessed day.
You too. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call, Earl.
Yeah, Liz, you were talking about the lady that's going to answer to take the calls for the government. I mean, that would be a perfect part-time job. Just sit there and answer the phone and charge the government. I mean...
Who's going to know if you're answering the phone?
Well, that's my point. I mean, I just sent them in a statement saying I answered these many calls.
Mm-hmm. How are you going to prove otherwise?
Okay. All right.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Liz, yesterday they had the lady on that her son got killed over in Iraq. And it's
Cindy Sheehan. Wait a minute. Cindy Sheehan, she's been on my show before. Cindy
the
Sheehan.
One that's protesting?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, you know what? Right after that, George Bush came on and said, well, no child has died in vain. What? I mean, they died for nothing. You know, this man needs to, you know, right now, and his approval rating is getting so bad, he needs to just sit down and shut up, don't say nothing until it's time for him to get out of office.
Well, in all fairness, Dolores, and I think that you're being a little harsh.
Okay.
In all fairness, he is shutting up and sitting down. He's spending another 30 days on vacation. So be fair, okay? That wasn't fair.
I'm sorry. That
right.
sure wasn't.
All
but
right.
You know what, Liz? That lady stole my thunder. That's what I called you for about the Wayne Williams. On 60 Minutes also, do you know at that time when they brought that forward, that's been about, I guess, 8 years ago or so, they had interviewed some white guys that told about this killing that took place down there, all these killings. And the one guy that was telling it, he came up all of a sudden. They said his brakes went out in the car and he got killed. So, this man shouldn't have never been in prison in the first place. They needed an scapegoat real quick to shut the people up. And this is what they did.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. And, I'm amazed at the world that we live in. It's a world that really experimentation goes on you every single day. Experimentation in the form of word choice. Word use, carefully crafted word choice, carefully strategized word use to get you to feel or to think or to behave in a certain way. Madison Avenue has nothing over this administration in their attempts to persuade you to think that spam is hamburger. You know, to get you to act a certain way based upon the word choices. Operation Freedom. The war on terrorism, which is now a struggle on against extremism. They've changed those words because they believe that you believe the words that they've been using, and the war on terrorism is something that can never be won. So now they want to back away from that those words. You're being played. You are being played daily. 454-0400 is my phone number. Carol, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
I'm outstanding.
Good. I was calling to find out whether or not anyone called in about the Meet the Press program yesterday.
No, uh-uh.
Okay. Well, on yesterday, there was a Dr. Kirk, and about a month ago, you did a program on thimerosal, you know, the mercury in the vaccines that they were giving kids, and this is what the program was about. So they were catching up with putting it out there nationally, I guess, about this thimerosal and the harm that it was doing kids. And it was really, it seems like there's a real struggle, still a real struggle for the medical community to admit, you know, their culpability in allowing it to go on and on and on and on, because they said that in the 1980s, there was a 1 in 10,000 kids with autism, and today it's like 166.
And that the same can be said in China, where autism was practically non-existent, and now because they've been taking vaccines from us, their autism rates have skyrocketed as well.
Yeah, you know, that program made an indelible impression on me. So I just thought I'd call to see whether or not you saw it. And
I've TiVo'd 60 Minutes. I've TiVo'd Meet the Press, so I will take a look at that when I get home tonight.
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
I'll see
you later.
Thank you, Ms. Carroll. 454-0400 is my phone number. We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Get to me. We have our phone lines here at 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. We have stuff to talk about.
There's a new world coming. This one's coming to an end. There's a new voice calling, and you can hear it if you try. And it's growing stronger with every day that passes by.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Wartner, the freezing wart remover. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and 270, no problems report. Eastbound 44 between Merrimack River Bridge and 270, everything's on the move. Eastbound 40 between Woods Mill and Mason Road, no problems there. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79, no problems to report there as well. Northbound 270 from Big Bend to all the way into Manchester, look for a very heavy volume this hour. Westbound 270 from Riverview to Washington, Elizabeth, everything's on the move. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way into 55, no problems there. Eastbound 40 between 170 and Hanley, that traffic is starting to ease up this hour. Westbound 5570 split from 3rd Street onto the PSB is still stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 64 between the 5570 split and Poplar Street, look for no problems there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank onto Euclid's Landing, look for very heavy volume this hour. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge, look for heavy traffic. In both directions, Tesson Ferry between Lindbergh and Gravois, look for paving operations. Eastbound 40 at the Van Deventer exit is closed through August due to construction. You can use Kings Highway Market or Grand to get around that area. That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Wartner, the freezing wart remover. An innocent wart, hardly. Warts spread. Treat them fast. Wartner freezes warts in a single treatment. Outdated treatments take up to 12 weeks. Nothing treats warts faster or more effectively than Wartner. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies, day high and lower 90s this evening. Mostly clear with low in the mid-70s for Tuesday. Mostly sunny with a high in the mid-90s. Tuesday evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-70s. And then on Wednesday, hot, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 77 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 76. under sunny, hazy conditions. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Last week marked the 60th anniversary of the use of nuclear weapons on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Did you know that for decades the government refused to allow newsreel footage of the devastation to be seen by the American public? Americans never did get a true understanding of how deadly the bomb was, nor why the use of them was so broadly condemned around the world. Images on walls of vaporized human beings. Grotesque burning of men, women, and children. Greg Mitchell, editor of Editor and Publisher, will join us Wednesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call to examine the Hiroshima cover-up, courtesy of Uncle Sam.
We all know by now never to drink and drive. We know to buckle up for safety, and we know to protect our children by using proper car seats. But did you know that basic car maintenance is just as important in avoiding serious accidents? Simple steps like changing your oil and brake fluid, keeping your car full of antifreeze and coolant, checking the belts and gaskets, and rotating your tires can keep you and your family and other drivers safer while keeping your car more fuel efficient, thus protecting the environment. That's why the Car Care Council is urging everyone to take an active interest in routine maintenance. Read your owner's manual, talk to a qualified service technician, and use an online resource. For more information on how to keep your car running safely, visit vehiclemanager.com. Take care of your car. It will save you money, and it will protect you and your family and other drivers. This has been a public service message from the Car Care Council.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
Sunday, August 24th, 2003. During the first week of June, I heard my company was back in business. It took several hours, seemingly thousands of family meetings, but I finally convinced everyone that it was necessary for my sanity to go back to work. They agreed that I would visit the company with my two male bodyguards and ask them if they had any work I could possibly take home and submit later on or through the internet. The moment I walked through the door, everything looked shabbier somehow, sadder. The lights were shattered, desks overturned, doors kicked in, and clocks torn from the walls. I asked him when they thought things would be functioning. He wouldn't look at me. His eyes stayed glued to A's face as he told him that females weren't welcome right now, especially females who couldn't be protected. He finally turned to me and told me in so many words to go home because they refused to be responsible for what might happen to me. Okay, fine, your loss. I turned my back, walked down the stairs, and went to find E and my cousin. Suddenly, the faces didn't look strange. They were the same faces as before, mostly, but there was a hostility I couldn't believe. What was I doing here? E and the cousin were looking grim. I must have been looking broken, because they rushed me out of the first place I ever worked into the car. I cried bitterly all the way home. Cried for my job, cried for my future, and cried for the torn streets, damaged buildings, and crumbling people.
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem.
Shift your computer into overdrive, sports overdrive, that is, at WGNU.net.
Next on Mondays at 9, we recently told you the story of William Rodriguez, the head janitor at the World Trade Center, who said there was an explosion in the basement of the tower just before it was hit by an airplane. Now, there's also some scientific evidence that the collapse of the building was a controlled demolition. And if that's the case, was it an inside job? Professor Morgan Reynolds of Texas A&M University says the official version of why the trade towers collapsed is suspect, because it would mean the original engineering data was wrong, too. Don't miss this provocative discussion with Professor Morgan Reynolds on the next edition of Mondays at 9. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you today?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm trying to find out what day you'll have Peter Downs on, because I just received a public retirement system notification that they're having a retired non-teacher trustee election.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at this list of names. I recognize one, and to vote for him would be like voting for Bush. And the rest of the candidates I'm really not familiar with, and I really wanted his opinion.
Okay, he's on like every Wednesday, been on every Wednesday at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Okay, I'll make sure I'll call in.
All right.
Okay, you have a great day.
All right.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up and get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I'm looking at some casualties of this occupation. And one of the casualties, and the one and a casualty that is not talked about all that much, is the casualty of medical ethics. Medical ethics have been taking a hit on this war on terror. They've been taking a hit. They have been corrupted because doctors and medical bodies, medical entities, medical organizations are becoming part of what's happening as we take more and more people as prisoners. For what they don't know, for what we don't know, and for why we'll never know. Government and medical bodies have been adjusting and blurring their ethical guidance, tilting themselves towards the endorsement of gross ethical malpractice in order to justify this war on terror. We're talking about another byproduct of this war. Another byproduct is a corruption of ethics. You know, we're going to be hard placed to even at some point. I think we're going to run out of numbers to count all of the casualties that have come about as a result of this occupation. We're just going to run out of numbers. It's just, we can't count that high. We can't count that high. And that's one of the issues that I explore in my column this week, Through Brown Eyes, my column entitled Justifying Disobedience to God. It's about the blurring of those lines and then the cost of this war on terror. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We're going to take a break, folks. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Stay with me. Say to you.
Hello, this is Brother Willie Loudon. Join me every Sunday morning at 8:30 and Let's Praise Him broadcast. Good gospel music and the latest church news to help you start your Sunday morning. So tune in on the Let's Praise Him broadcast every Sunday morning at 8:30 right here on WGNU.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline, Washington. Although President Bush's administration has been critical of Iran over its nuclear program, word has come out that Dick Cheney's former employer, Halliburton, has been working with a top official in Iran on natural gas projects and has even sold Iran's oil company, Key Technology, to produce a nuclear reactor. The vice chairman of one of the biggest private oil companies in Iran, Cyrus Nasiri, is also an important part of the country's nuclear development team. He was questioned by Iranian authorities last month because of allegations he gave Halliburton some of Iran's nuclear secrets. He's also said to have gotten $1 million worth of bribes and kickbacks from Halliburton. The company has been deeply involved in several areas of the natural gas project in Iran and has acted as an advisor to Nasiri's company as well. Halliburton started doing business with Iran back in 1995 when Mr. Cheney was still head of the company. At that time, the U.S. had economic and business sanctions on the company, the country of Iran, but Halliburton managed to get around them by claiming a shell company that was based in the Cayman Islands was actually doing that work. And Dateline Louisville. The first known death due to an argument over the Iraq War has taken place in Kentucky. 65-year-old Douglas Moore got into an argument with 56-year-old Harold Smith. Both men were firearms dealers. Moore supported the war. Smith was opposed to it. Smith was talking about the 14 soldiers who were killed last week when Moore told him just as many people died on the highways here. A heated argument ensued, then fisticuffs broke out, and finally both men pulled pistols and Moore shot and killed Smith. A relative of the dead man said the two men were friends and had had discussions about the war in the past, but her father just had different ideas about it than most of the people in his circle. Police have so far not charged Moore with anything, saying it appears to be a case of self-defense. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Do they play jazz in heaven? In New Orleans, we know they do.
If your family hasn't been to New Orleans, y'all haven't lived. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan your trip to Six Flags New Orleans, Audubon Zoo, Aquarium of the Americas, and more. Hop on the new canal streetcar line, see gators up close, and roll in a riverboat down the mighty Mississippi. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today for great hotel rates and a free Good Times guide with more than $2,400 in coupons. And jazz up your family's next vacation in New Orleans.
You know if there's a paradise, it's an afternoon in Jackson Square. But if they play jazz in heaven, darling, it's standing room only up there.
NewOrleansOnline.com, happening every day.
The 2005 season of St. Louis County Parks Blues on the Mississippi Concert Series comes to an end with Sean Costello on Friday, August 12th. The concert will be at the Jefferson Barracks Park on Telegraph Road, north of I-255. Gates open at 7 p.m. Music is from 8 to 11. Admission is $10 for those 13 and older and free for children under 13. Tickets only available at the gate. Carry-in food and beverage allowed, and concessions are available at reasonable prices. For more info, call 636-391-3474 or log on to www.stlewisco.com/parks. Something for music lovers from Radio Free St. Louis.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I got something I want to talk about. Y'all listen here. The time has come to air my feelings. Yeah. There's just so much confusion going down. But sometimes you got to stand out from the crowd. Everyone got their own opinion. And you know, I sure got mine. It's my world. Don't you come up messing with my world. Well, I don't appreciate it.
Welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Yes.
This is Paul Davis,
yes.
President of St. Louis Firefighters Local 73.
Very good. Did you get my email?
I did get your email, and the
okay.
reason I hadn't responded yet, I'm scheduled to work on Monday, and I just wanted to assure that I could get somebody to cover my shift so I could be there at 7 o'clock.
Excellent. Oh, I'm so excited.
I've got that taken care of, and I will be there next Tuesday.
Outstanding. I think it's going to be a great show, Paul. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. I just wanted to assure your listeners that I wasn't reneging on my offer.
Excellent.
And that I was just making sure that my schedule allowed it, and just wanted to make sure I had somebody to cover my shift.
I'm glad to hear it. I look forward to it, Paul.
Okay.
Take care.
All right.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Dimitri, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. I want to ask you a question, and I want you to tell me whether my skepticism is justified. In the reports of the casualties in Iraq, the dead and the injured, why is that announcement in the print media always followed by according to the Associated Press? Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Shouldn't that information be coming from the Pentagon?
Well, that's if the Pentagon was forthcoming with it. What the Associated Press and others have had to do is they've had to go in and glean from the Pentagon's numbers what the numbers of casualties are. So yes, you are right that it should be coming from the Pentagon, but if we waited for the Pentagon to report on it without having to report on it, we wouldn't get any reports at all.
Well, the thing I'm thinking about because of the lies that come out of Washington is the fact that if the real figures are revealed, the Pentagon could say, it's not our fault, the Associated Press had the numbers wrong. You know, they're covering their own backside.
Who's covering whose backside?
The Pentagon.
Well, yeah. The Pentagon always does that.
Yeah,
and the Pentagon...
And that way they can blame the Associated Press because they don't want to be on... They don't want to be held up when the real numbers are revealed.
Of course they don't. And that's why they count the dead in crazy ways. If you die in a helicopter on the way to the hospital and you didn't die on the ground, you're not counted as dying in combat.
Which raises another thought, Liz, if I may. They did a good thing for the wrong reasons. Do you know the body armor? Well, what that does is, unfortunately, the people, the soldiers who lose arms and legs are just counted as wounded, but that keeps the death count down. And I think maybe there was an ulterior motive in equipping our soldiers with those body armor.
Well, to some extent, but then if that were the case, they certainly would have handed out a lot more of them than what they did.
Yeah, and then just one other thing, Liz, if I may. You're talking about 9/11. I still haven't been able to find any information about how the television networks happened to be hooked into a television crew who were tracking the planes coming into 9/11. Have you heard anything about that?
I don't have an answer for that, no.
Well, I think that question ought to be raised.
Well, no, the question has been raised that there isn't an answer to it.
There are no answers, but there's a lot of questions. Thank you, Liz.
All right.
You have a good morning.
All right, Dimitri. 454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Hilga.
Hi, how are you?
I am fine.
I'd like to ask you something very different. Since your father has been in the military,
mm-hmm.
Do you know something about the military and the Spouses Protection Act? Have you ever heard about it?
And the what?
The Spouses Protection Act.
No, I think that, no, I haven't. No.
No, nobody knows in St. Louis. There's no lawyer who can talk to me or know anything about it. That's kind of strange.
What is it?
Well, it's about his pension and money, mostly.
Mm.
You never heard about it?
No, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
No, I haven't.
Can you look into it, maybe?
I will see what I can do.
Okay.
I will see what I can do. The Spousal Protection Act?
Yeah.
Spousal Protection Act. Under the GI Bill? Or under
the military law.
Okay, under military law.
Yeah.
Okay.
When you divorced, you
mm-hmm.
know, your divorce decree said I'm the beneficiary and the VA have cut me off completely.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I have never heard of that.
Never heard of it?
No, uh-uh.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Helga. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I am so excited, folks. Tuesday is going to be a very, very exciting day. We're going to have members of the president of, I believe the president, Fire is going to be on. We're going to have the president of the White Firefighters Association organization, their union, is going to be on. We're going to have a great discussion, a first of its kind in the city of St. Louis, a debate between the two organizations right here on the Wake Up Call on Tuesday. We're going to have some corresponding documents on the website for you to take a look at as we discuss this issue, so you'll be able to look at the paperwork that we are talking about and referring to Tuesday. You don't want to miss this from 7 to 9 o'clock on Tuesday morning. It's going to be next Tuesday. It's going to be rock and roll. It's going to be very, very, very exciting. And in the next hour, we're going to ask the question, why did the World Trade Center skyscrapers collapse? Why? Why? People have said, and I will give you one quote from the general manager of Marine Terminals, Metal Management. What struck me, A guy that has basically spent all of my life in the scrap business, I've never seen steel this heavy, this huge, this massive. It didn't seem real. There are thousands of these steel beams that fell just like pickup sticks. How'd that happen? What's up with that? We're going to be talking about it in the next hour on our Mondays at 9 segment with Morgan Reynolds. He's a professor from Texas A&M, and he's going to be joining us from Arkansas to talk about why did the World Trade Center skyscrapers collapse? We need to know. We need to know. 45 exterior columns separated from each other. How'd that happen? I think you know. My name is Liz Brown. This is a wake-up call. Don't miss this next hour. We'll be back.
was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that. I remember telling you that progress is being made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brother.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas.
Stories are essentially about people.
And that's how ABC Newsman Emeritus Peter Jennings always looked at his job as a correspondent and World News Tonight anchor, and he never thought he'd seen or done it all.
I get up every day knowing that I can learn or understand something better and that it is my job to do so. That people will pay me to do that in order to help people understand the environment in which we live.
Peter Jennings died of lung cancer yesterday, several months after he announced his diagnosis on World News Tonight. ABC's Diane Sawyer remembers Jennings as a brilliant colleague who was anything but stuffy.
Just before you'd go on the air, as we all know, he'd say, are you going to wear that? Or as they're counting down, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, he'd say, do you really want to start with what it says on this page? And then he'd say, good evening, I'm Peter Jennings.
Peter Jennings was 67. This is an extra day in orbit for Discovery. The shuttle was waved away from the Kennedy Space Center runway early this morning because of heavy cloud cover. NASA's Kelly Humphreys says the forecast made it a no-go.
Low broken clouds seen early in the morning, through the morning at the Kennedy Space Center, and also a chance for showers that developed in the vicinity of the landing site and maintained the potential for development around the landing site.
Well, they'll try again tomorrow morning. The American embassy and consulates in Saudi Arabia are closed today and tomorrow, and Australia is warning its citizens not to travel to the kingdom because Australia says militants might be planning attacks on housing compounds. The Saudi government says it has no solid information about any imminent attack. Still, it was enough to send crude oil prices to a new high this morning on the American Mercantile Exchange. Light sweet crude for September delivery was up 40 cents a barrel to $62.71. This is ABC News.
Ah, the sounds of summer. Crickets. Fireworks. The guy who just named his own price for a hotel on Priceline and saved up to $100 a night on a 4-star hotel. A man who got a deal he simply could not get anywhere else. A hero to his family as well as his accountant. What are you waiting for? Book your summer hotel on Priceline now. The new Priceline. Shop, compare, save. Hotel shown only after purchase.
Okay, Sandra, are you ready for your home's makeover?
Yes!
Okay, we're done.
But you just changed a light bulb.
But wait.
Wow, the walls look brighter, the furniture looks fabulous, the colors are more vibrant.
That's Philips Natural Light at work. Philips Natural Light gives you remarkable light, bringing out the true colors in your decor. It's a makeover with a twist. See what's possible in your home with Philips Natural Light. Philips, sense and simplicity.
Come in and save 10% on all Philips Natural Light products at the Home Depot this month.
Kids and alcohol, always a dangerous combination, but a new survey shows many kids are drinking at home.
A quarter of parents who took part in the online survey said they allow their teens to drink at home under their supervision. 16-year-old Becky tells us her parents let her drink sometimes.
They'll be like, oh, like just take one cup, you know, but don't overdo it.
And if it's not offered at home?
Nah, you gotta know people, you know. Like some certain people. I'll get it for you.
A different study reports 81% of teens believe it's easy to get alcohol. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Health officials in New Zealand are searching for the source of a deadly outbreak of Legionnaires' disease. An elderly woman in Christchurch is the third victim so far. And four Chinese officials have been fired over the disease carried in pigs that has killed at least 39 people. The four were accused of not properly disposing of dead pigs that had been diagnosed with the disease. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's news, traffic, and weather. This hour's news is sponsored by Commerce Bank. In the news in your 9 o'clock hour, police are continuing to search for people responsible for an early morning shooting in North St. Louis. Authorities say they are looking for three suspects in connection with the shooting around 1 a.m. this morning in the 5700 block of Cates. One person was shot, and there's no word on that person's condition. A 31-year-old man is facing several charges in connection with an alleged sexual assault that ended when the police shot him. Authorities say police are trying to arrest Anthony Moore early Sunday morning in the 4600 block of Wilcox. When he tried to grab one of the officer's guns, that's when one of the officers shot Moore. Moore's injuries are not life-threatening. The search for a person responsible for killing of a St. Louis teenager remains on the loose. Authorities say 14-year-old Willie Moore was shot in the head early Sunday morning while sitting on the porch of 500 block of Eiler. The suspect fled the scene on foot. There's no motive as far as the killing is concerned at this hour. Fire officials say a cigarette is to blame for sparking a fire that killed 7-year-old St. Louis boy. Authorities say Calvin Sangster Jr. died when his house in the 5200 block of Maple went up in flames on Sunday morning. The boy's parents attempted to rescue the boy, who was sleeping on a second-floor bedroom, but could not reach him. And finally this hour, police are investigating a weekend accident that claimed the life of a 19-year-old New Haven man. Ty Quick was killed when his car struck an embankment on Kaiser Hill Road near Highway 100 around 10 p.m. Saturday evening. There's no word on to the cause of the effect, and no other vehicles were involved. This hour's news has been sponsored by Commerce Bank. With Commerce Bank, online banking for small business, you can take care of business anytime. Call, click, or come by to get signed up. Commerce Bank, member FDIC. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Now let's take a look at your WGNU traffic. Get a final look on the traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Oregon. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, no problems to report. Northbound 270 at Big Bend, that traffic is easing. Westbound 270 between Riverview and Washington Elizabeth, look for normal traffic this hour. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks all the way into 55, no problems to report. Eastbound 40 between 170 and Hanley, that traffic is returned back to normal. Westbound 270 at Illinois Route 3, there's an accident on the right shoulder, and traffic is slowing down. Take a look. Westbound 5570 split from Route 3 onto the PSB, no problems there. Westbound 64 between 5570 split and the PSB, everything is on the move. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way on to Cleeds Landing, that is returned back to normal. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB, that traffic is easing. Dunn Road at Taylor, there's a report of an accident that has been cleared, but there may still be a brief tie-up at this hour. Westbound 40 between Tucker and 14th. Bridge construction, two lanes are closed this hour in both directions. Tesson Ferry between Lindbergh and Gravois. You've got paving operations. Eastbound 40 at Vandeventer. That exit is closed through August due to construction. You can use Kings Highway, Market, or Grand to get around that construction area. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Orkin Pest Control. Did you know one roach could represent 200 others inside your walls? The Orkin Man knows, and he can help de-roach your home. Remember, if it bugs you, bug the Orkin Man at 1-800-ORKIN-MAN. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies today, High in the lower 90s for this evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-70s. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-90s. Tuesday evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-70s. And Wednesday, hot, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid to upper 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we are at 79 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 77. Stay tuned now for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Mondays at 9. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Mondays at 9. This is Liz Brown, and this morning we are going to be exploring a mystery, if you will. Mystery wrapped up in a conundrum, wrapped up in a question, wrapped up in a, I don't get it. We need to talk about this mystery, question, the I don't get it. Now that we are some years past 9/11, people are coming forward with some courage and some concern and raising the questions that many people, many Americans were too fearful, too struck with horror, too absorbed in the moment
to ask at the time that it was happening. Why did the Trade Center, the World Trade Center skyscrapers collapse? Why did they collapse? They were steel. No steel-framed skyscraper engulfed in flames had ever, ever collapsed before. Why did these collapse? Remember, one of them wasn't even hit by a plane, and it collapsed too. Why did they collapse? We need to talk about this. We need to discuss this. We need to try to make sense of this. And to do that, I have this morning joining me from Hot Springs, Arkansas, Morgan Reynolds, a professor of economics from Texas A&M University. Morgan Reynolds, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
Real good.
Very good. How does a professor of economics end up with writing a paper on why did the World Trade Center skyscrapers collapse? How did that happen?
Well, it's the most urgent investigation of our time. It's the importance of it, number one. And number two, not many academics have stepped forward to examine this.
Let alone academics from Texas.
Right, yeah. So one of the few is a man by the name of David Ray Griffin, who's done two books on this. He's a Claremont theologian emeritus, which means he's retired or semi-retired. But there haven't been many academics who have been willing to look at this event or this set of crimes and examine them in a very hard-headed, rational way.
And when did you decide to do this? Well, was it on 9/11, what was the genesis?
I was fooled, along with most Americans, on that morning. I remember hearing that the gates of hell were opening up, and went into a colleague's office. I was chief economist, a Bush appointee back then in 2001. I'd only been on the job 1 week, and I went next door where a colleague had a television, and the first thing out of my mouth was, "That building will not fall." And then, within an hour or hour and a half, both towers had collapsed. Amazing, stupefying, both amateur and expert alike. And I just put it on the back shelf. I said, how could I have been so wrong? And for the next 16 months, I worked in the Bush administration. But when I left, I gradually became very bothered, especially with the run-up to the invasion of Iraq, which I knew was a set of big lies, and started writing some critical pieces. And then the next big thing to me was when David Ray Griffin's book, The New Pearl Harbor, came out, and it put a lot of this work together, and I found it very convincing.
So talk to us about what are the theories for, what were the initial theories that were given to the public as to why these buildings fell?
Well, there are various detailed versions. There may be three or four versions of the official theory. But what it amounts to is we had structural damage from airliner impact. Then we had fires, which some people, one theory is that it knocked off a lot of fireproofing off steel beams. And then these fires were so intense and extensive that the beams were weakened. They wouldn't have to melt, but they were thermally softened and became elastic or plastic. And then we had a gradual gravity-induced pancake collapse. That's the official theory. But, of course, it's preposterous. That's not what we saw.
Well, let's start with the structural weakening theory. Walk us through that. What's their theory, and what are the problems with their theory?
Well, The number one problem is that, as you pointed out in the intro, no steel frame skyscraper has ever collapsed.
Describe what a steel frame skyscraper is so that our listening audience can really get a sense of this.
Well, these are, of course, massive buildings that, and in the case of the towers, they were incredibly strong. They had a 47 vertical column center or core, which was all cross braced, and the columns were seven stories into the subsurface and anchored in bedrock. And
they went seven stories down into the earth.
Seven stories down. And, of course, the towers themselves were 110 stories. But when people talk about this being a hollow service core, that is a completely a lie. That is a complete lie. The core, these were 87 feet by 135 feet. They took up about half of the floor space inside these towers. And these beams would taper up to the top where they didn't have to be so strong, but at the base they were 36 inches long and 18 inches, I think, or 16 inches wide, and the steel all around is 4 inches thick at the base. And then they gradually, by the time you get to the top few stories, they were actually only I-beams. But and then we had a perimeter. The perimeter had 260 steel vertical beams as well. And then there was a very elaborate, very strong truss system for each floor with 4 inches of concrete on it.
Mm-hmm.
So to get a fire, especially a kerosene fire, to soften up any of this stuff is just ridiculous. It's well known that it takes about 2,750 degrees heat Fahrenheit to melt steel. I have a friend in the steel industry, and he says, "Yeah, we cook it up to at least 3,000 degrees."
And then it's still not instantaneous.
No. For example, you would have to see red hot beams at the perimeter, which we didn't see. And the South Tower was basically kind of to make inappropriately light of the situation. But the South Tower fire was punk. The North Tower had a more serious fire going, but even that was pretty oxygen starved. That's why we had such black sooty smoke. But if you go to the South Tower, we have it on record. Oriole Palmer, the battalion chief, was up there on the 78th floor, and he said, "I need two lines," meaning two hoses. He said, "There's two pockets of isolated fire." So one reason, of course, that 343 firefighters died was that they would never feared collapse. And when Palmer was calling for these two lines, within 9 minutes, the entire South Tower collapsed. Well, it was imploded. It was blown to kingdom come. We saw it. You had dust, which was the pulverized concrete, which requires tremendous energy. You had 90 to 100,000 tons of concrete that was just blown to dust. And then you had steel beams going out hundreds of feet.
Well, wait a minute. Let's go back to the dust component of it, because I don't think that that's something that I think people have thought about the steel part of it, but I would venture to say that most people have not thought about the dust part of it. What kind of power, what kind of pressure does it take to pulverize concrete, to put that much concrete dust in the air?
Right. Some good physicists, and I can't vouch for their work, but some people have done some calculations, and at a minimum, it would require at least 10 times the energy of a gravity collapse to pulverize all this concrete. There was almost no concrete at the bottom. If you'd had a gravity-driven pancake collapse, you would have had a lot of broken concrete down at the bottom, which we didn't have. As we know, it was all converted to a very fine powder. And, of course, they know the calculations about how fine it was. But so it would require enormous energy. And that's all I can tell you, you know.
And then the other piece of this, Professor, is that any questions that we have about what happened are, and any efforts to get to the complete and absolute forensic bottom of those questions have been challenged because of what has happened to the evidence, hasn't it?
Well, they kept the evidence secure and disposed of it as rapidly as they could.
And talk to us about the FEMA part of this. What role did FEMA play in the evidence, getting rid of the evidence?
Yeah, yeah. Number one, the head of FEMA is Joe Albaugh, who is a Texan, and he was the Bush campaign manager in 2000. He's a Bush family loyalist. So, secondly, FEMA is not an investigative agency. We know it for disaster relief, but more importantly, it's a black budget a psyops agency. And we could go into that. Thirdly, FEMA, guess what? They were operating an exercise, Tripod 2, and were in place the night before.
Isn't that something?
Isn't that a coincidence?
Isn't that something?
Criminal investigators hate coincidences. They don't believe in them. So we have all these coincidences. And FEMA and Giuliani, then mayor, were in charge of this. And, of course, it became a huge security issue. They had an absurd kind of $600,000 walkthrough investigation by some engineers, but they weren't allowed to examine the evidence. They had no subpoena power. It was strictly a dress rehearsal type deal. And now the number one thing that they wanted to avoid was, and what you would do if you were an investigator, would be to examine the steel beams for explosive residue.
Mm.
Okay, so we don't have that, but we have a lot of evidence that can prove beyond a reasonable doubt that these buildings were pulled, to use the slang. That is, they were imploded by demolition.
But and back to FEMA for one second. FEMA then carted the evidence off, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Had it removed.
There was strict security so that no dump truck who was going out to that fresh kill staging point could divert. One of the truck drivers, and they put GPS on
it. That's the other piece of it. Yeah, they put GPS tracking devices on the trucks.
On every truck.
On every truck that hauled this stuff away.
So
why
it was
is
considered
that?
A high security issue so that no truck, sold its stuff to somebody they didn't want examining it. And then, of course, it's probably in a Kia or some Korean car now. So some Americans are driving a piece of the World Trade Center in their steel frame. But so all these are very suspicious now, aren't they?
They are hugely suspicious. Hugely suspicious. So we have the evidence being dragged away. Let's go back to what we were talking about initially about the structural weakening theory. So we have these buildings, we have these implosions. What happened, and we have these incredibly thick, these incredibly weighty, these incredibly mm-hmm. huge beams. What are the problems, speaking from a physics point of view, what are the problems with how these beams ended up after the planes hit some of the towers?
Well, they didn't. This story about the fires being so horrific is bogus. We have, of course, a lot of evidence from other skyscraper fires. One of them being in Philadelphia, the Meridian Plaza fire, where that burned 18 or 19 hours with bright flames all over the place. And they actually rebuilt it. In other words, there wasn't any structural damage. A kerosene fire, which is jet fuel, the stuff people use in their home heaters, okay, in the basement heater, it only has about half of the peak heat needed to melt steel, and it just can't get close to and welders can tell you this, it's not just physics, you know, how much heat do you really need to cut through steel? So that's just a non-starter. It's for the ignorant, right?
So it doesn't have the heat, and let alone it didn't have the length of time that would have to have in order to melt these beams.
Right, right. And the South Tower fell within an hour, and it imploded. It was blown to kingdom come. It wasn't a conventional demolition. They over-laced this stuff with explosives to make it spectacular. You know, it's a.
How do we know that? How can we tell that by looking at it, that this was an implosion as opposed to the theory that we're being given that the planes hit the building and made it collapse?
Well, you know, media people at the time even remarked, Dan Rather included, about it looks like a demolition like you've seen on film where they bring down buildings.
He said it inadvertently. I bet he took it back after the challenge.
Because he didn't want to be necklaced,
there you
as
go.
He said, over in England in
there
an interview. Right.
There you go. And we have to take a break right now. I'm talking to Professor Morgan Reynolds, a professor from Texas A&M University. He's joining us from Hot Springs, Arizona. We are talking about why did the World Trade Center towers collapse? My name is Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9. We're going to take a break. The number here is 454-0400. I see you on the lines. I know you want to talk. We'll get to some of your calls and questions when we get back. Stay with us.
AM 920, WGNU is the home of Radio Free St. Louis. If you're outside the metropolitan area, pick us up at WGNU.net.
To me, summer is family time, a time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do, which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerang. I like to ride them all. Of course, World of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine loved the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played, took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then, if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head, and then the tube rides, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls. And finally, the wave pool. Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with the ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open daily. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge, and most importantly the discipline, to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
Sunday, August 24th, 2003. During the first week of June, I heard my company was back in business. It took several hours, seemingly thousands of family meetings, but I finally convinced everyone that it was necessary for my sanity to go back to work. They agreed that I would visit the company with my two male bodyguards and ask them if they had any work I could possibly take home and submit later on or through the internet. The moment I walked through the door, everything looked shabbier somehow, sadder. The lights were shattered, desks overturned, doors kicked in, and clocks torn from the walls. I asked him when they thought things would be functioning. He wouldn't look at me. His eyes stayed glued to A's face as he told him that females weren't welcome right now, especially females who couldn't be protected. He finally turned to me and told me in so many words to go home because they refused to be responsible for what might happen to me. Okay, fine, your loss. I turned my back, walked down the stairs, and went to find E and my cousin. Suddenly, the faces didn't look strange. They were the same faces as before, mostly, but there was a hostility I couldn't believe. What was I doing here? E and the cousin were looking grim. I must have been looking broken, because they rushed me out of the first place I ever worked into the car. I cried bitterly all the way home. Cried for my job, cried for my future, and cried for the torn streets, damaged buildings, and crumbling people.
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Our discussion this morning on Mondays at 9 is why did the World Trade Center skyscrapers collapse? And to facilitate that conversation, I have joining us from Hot Springs, Arkansas, Professor Morgan Reynolds, professor from Texas A&M. And, Professor, welcome back.
Hey, good to be with you again.
And we're going to get to some of our calls here. Bob, you have a question or comment for our guest, Morgan Reynolds?
I have both, Liz, and thank you for bringing Professor Reynolds on. I accept the premise of how the explosions happened at the trade towers, but shortly after they fell, the architect, supposedly, who architected those buildings, a Japanese firm, said that they had collapsed exactly like they were built and designed to collapse. And my question for the professor is, if this is true, and this architect was on shortly after on TV, I may still have the tape, but if this is true, and would not the fire department and the police departments would have known that this is the way that that huge building would collapse to minimize the damage it would come down on them? And why weren't they advised of that, if it's all true?
And why would they send all of the firefighters in there knowing that this is how the building
And if you think about it, it was about the safest way for it to collapse was straight down. If they had not had people going in there, it wouldn't have been that many deaths, and if they got them out. Because if it had went any other way, it would have destroyed much more of New York.
Thanks.
So I'd like for the professor to address
Bob,
that.
Bob, I think your criticism is taken. I haven't seen this statement by he's actually a Japanese American from the state of Washington, Seattle, as I recall. I haven't seen that statement from him. You're pointing out an inconsistency here where the loss of life was huge, especially for the emergency personnel. And so how could this be that it collapsed as designed? You know, this doesn't make any sense to me.
Isn't it to the contrary, Professor? Wasn't the building designed to withstand what it took,
right.
it was given?
Yeah, even some of the defenders of the official account, who were structural engineers, admit or point out that these plane things are like a pinprick in terms of how you can transfer load for a building like this.
So you're talking about like the size of the holes that they made.
Even
when
if it were a Boeing 767, 150 tons, that is trivial compared to the weight, the mass, and strength of these towers.
They were designed because they went up so high. They were designed with the anticipation.
They're designed to take hurricane force winds of 160 miles an hour. They're designed to take a whole bunch of events. And steel is just incredibly sturdy. It's just baffling how they can pull the wool over too many people's eyes with
and
these stories.
Talk to us about the bending outwards of the girders as opposed to the bending inwards.
When I look at the photos here, there's a big debate in the 9/11 research community about what hit these towers, if anything. Okay, now this is kind of out on the edge of controversy here, but I keep on looking at this and saying, gee whiz, a few of these vertical beams that were fragmented or broken don't bend the right way. So you could argue that the explosions actually did this rather than, because you'd expect some inward bending beams, if anything.
And why is that?
Because of plane impact. But I'm still puzzling over these things and don't have a definite theory I want to defend, but there's a whole series of questions. Look at the, both impact outlines, the holes in the towers, showed a plane banking left. It's a 38-degree bank for the impact hole on the south tower. And yet, they claim, when you're banking left, you are turning left. I'm a motorcyclist. You lean that motorcycle left, you are going left, okay? And the same with a plane. Well, how could this plane be going off to the right, to the east, and almost miss the tower? And remember, all the fuel was basically 90% of the fuel load was dumped out to the east side of this building. Well, this doesn't make any sense. In other words, you got an impact hole showing the plane turning, banking. Really into the core of the building, and yet all the official diagrams show the plane going to the right and almost missing the core.
Here's the other question that is just mystifying to me. How do we have, what is the explanation given for the building that fell that no plane hit?
Yeah.
What's the explanation for that?
Well, that's going to be interesting because the NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, has got to come out with a report here within 60 days, a final report, and they're going to have to be very creative, let me tell you, because there were only two small fires on floors 7 and 12, and how could it bring down this 47-story steel frame skyscraper within 7 seconds, a virtual free fall? And of course, we have this on multiple videotapes showing this building collapse, which was, it bears all the earmarks of a conventional bottoms-up demolition. The towers were brought down by Kingdom Come type, from top. They exploded the top, and then they gradually, boom, 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 brought down it. That was an unconventional way to do it. Demolition of Building 7 was entirely conventional. It fell within its own footprint, didn't harm buildings adjacent to it, which were the post office and then the Verizon building next door. And you should see how neat the stacks are. They're all just kind of folded up in the middle. It's a perfect demolition.
What is the explanation for why it fell? Nothing hit it. There was no fire there. What is their explanation for why?
We really don't have one yet, but Larry Silverstein, the real estate magnate who had the 99-year lease negotiated about 6 weeks earlier, he is on record in a PBS Nova documentary recalling how he's talking to the FD people, the fire department, battalion commander on the scene, and Silverstein says, by his recollection, well, we've had so much suffering, you got problems there. Why don't you just pull the building, which is the slang for demolition? So, and there's been, that was in 2002, and there's been no clarification, retraction. So here we've got the landlord on record for admitting this whole thing. And I think the price was $368 million, but the insurance paid $861 million. And it was split like four ways with the three of the mortgage holders, which included the Blackstone Group, et cetera. So there's real, this is just really ultra suspicious.
Let's take another caller here. Carphone, you have a question for our guest, Professor Reynolds.
Oh, yes, how you doing, Liz? I'm just very glad that you've got somebody on here that's talking about this. I've been thoroughly convinced since day one that buildings were brought down by explosives and not from the action. I'm just waiting for the American people to get together and go to Washington and pull these criminals out of the White House. Have a good day.
Thanks for your call.
Yep.
454-0400 is the phone number. We are taking your long-distance calls, too, toll-free, 1-877-920-WGNU. You can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. Don't forget, we broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. And you, this show is archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. So if you missed this hour, you have some friends that you wanted to catch this hour, send them over to whiterosesociety.org. I'm talking to Professor Morgan Reynolds. He is a professor from Texas A&M University. He's joining us from Hot Springs, Arkansas. We're talking about why did the World Trade Center skyscrapers collapse? Why did they do that? We'll be back after this break to discuss this more. My name is Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9. I will be back. Stay with me.
State-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
Akbar Electric, Commercial Industrial Residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call, 382-2568.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline London. British Prime Minister Tony Blair is using the London train and bus bombings as a backdrop to institute tough new measures he says are necessary to maintain domestic security. Blair says he wants to deport foreign nationals who glorify acts of terror as well as bar radicals from entering Great Britain. He also plans to shut down mosques that are linked to extremism, ban specific Islamic groups, and even change some British human rights laws. A member of the opposition party in Parliament says such moves could cause harsh feelings among the nearly 2 million British Muslims, most of whom are law-abiding citizens. In another angle to the recent bombings, two British newspapers are reporting that two Al-Qaeda operatives in Saudi Arabia placed calls and text messages to Britain earlier this year. They also transferred money from Saudi Arabia to London. Since that incident, both of the men died in shootouts. And Dateline Baghdad. Top military officials say they have uncovered a scam being run by some members of the California Army National Guard. It seems the soldiers were charging what is described as rent to Iraqi-owned businesses operating inside the Green Zone. The money they received went into something called the Soldiers Fund, an account that was maintained off the books. Reports say soldiers from the 1st Battalion of the 184th Infantry Regiment, based in Modesto, California, went to a number of businesses run by Iraqi nationals and told the owners they had to pay rent in order to keep operating. So far, there is confirmation that they did collect money from at least two vendors. The money went into a pot that was supposed to buy shirts, patches, and a safe. It was also said to be used for loans to soldiers to pay bills at home or buy some specially minted coins that were supposed to build morale. It is unknown exactly how much wound up in that fund, but reports are ranging from 3,000 to 30 grand. The battalion numbers about 800 soldiers. Its commander has been suspended. One of the companies has been transferred to a different location. Three other companies in that battalion have been investigated in the past on allegations that they have mistreated prisoners, one involving the use of a stun gun, and another that during an interrogation session, a soldier shot up a hot water heater to scare the prisoner. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Ever start a project by yourself, only to find you needed someone to help you? Fact is, when you link your resources with those of others, more gets done faster and benefits more people. Since 1994, Hope for the Nations has helped thousands of children in 20 countries in Europe, Asia, Africa, and Latin America. Hope for the Nations links people and resources in the U.S. and Canada to help homeless children become tomorrow's leaders, productive leaders who help their communities become self-sufficient, and help even more people. Learn more about Hope for the Nations. Find out how you can link your resources and help children throughout the world. Visit www.hopeforthenations.com. That's www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994. This is one project that needs your help.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call
The Party Line with Steve Franklin, Monday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon.
Educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Whoa, oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north to the south and east.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Mondays at 9. We're talking about why the World Trade Center's skyscrapers, why they collapsed. Is this a demolition? Is this the result of planes crashing into it? We are talking this morning to Professor Morgan Reynolds. He's talking to us from Hot Springs, Arkansas, and he is from Texas A&M University. Professor, welcome back. Let's talk for a second about the seismic vibrations of the buildings. What kind of seismic vibrations, and what do these vibrations indicate?
Yeah, this is a disputed area compared to some of the firm things we talked about. But at Columbia University, where they have a seismic detection center, there were spikes of over 2.0 on the Richter scale, and that is of the size to be associated with demolition. So, for example, in my article, I cited the Seattle Kingdom was imploded, and that registered a 2.3. And as I say, it's disputed as to whether this was the consequence of the falling steel, which I find implausible, but some people have said, well, you know, there's a nearby rock quarry, and some of the explosions there can get up near 1.9.
Have you ever talked to an eyewitness by the name of William Rodriguez, who was the head custodian at the towers?
I actually have been on a radio program with him, mm-hmm. and I've talked to him in that format.
And he's talked about the explosions,
yes,
that took place prior to the buildings coming down.
Right.
Would that
right.
account for the seismic measurements that we're talking about?
Yeah, and he's not alone in that. He had a master key. He was one of the few people. He was part of the janitorial force, but had a master key, which he's a hero in that he opened the doorway doors and allowed a lot of the people to escape. And so we also have all kinds of eyewitness reports.
One of the things that you mentioned in your article, you talked about eyewitness testimony by those who escaped from inside the North Tower concerning the core damage probably is unavailable. But we have William Rodriguez.
Yes. I was kind of conceding a little ground there that mm-hmm. I don't need.
Mm-hmm.
I was more concerned with the exact nature of the airplane impact up there.
Gotcha.
But the explosions are well validated by emergency personnel. We've got all kinds of firefighters who are under a gag order, by the way,
mm-hmm.
not talk about 9/11. But at the time, you know, within the first 24 hours, we've got them all on videotape and talking about how the boom, boom, boom explosions went off. And furthermore, we have, of course, the lots of video about how these buildings came down. You can see the squibs right along floors. In other words, the charges going off.
These little poofs of
little
smoke.
Little poofs,
mm-hmm.
yep.
Mm-hmm. And also, there are these hot spots. Talk to us about the hot spots.
Oh, yeah. There are hot spots there where they poured water on continuously for weeks, and after weeks of this, they were still at 1,100 degrees Fahrenheit. Well, this wouldn't happen in a pancake gravity collapse. This is the aftermark of explosions down there at the base of the trade towers. And remember, you did need a lot of explosive power because these buildings, the towers were so strong. But even then, they over blew it. And so we got these hot spots. And this is well documented, right? It's undisputed that there were these hot spots.
Let me take another call or two. Will, you have a question or comment for our guest, Professor Reynolds?
Yes, I do. Man, I am so glad you're having this topic, this discussion, Liz. And continue to appreciate your show. I want the doctor to comment real quick on what I've termed the hot pancake scenario for this thing collapsing, because it deals with the two areas, the heat that they say caused the structural weakening of the steel, and then the pancake gravity scenario he just laid. And what I like about your guest is, like, I want him to comment on the fuel. First of all, he mentioned, like, at least on the South Tower, I believe, like 98% of the fuel was ejected out of the adjacent side of the building. So you didn't even have the fuel to heat the steel in that one collapse. And then not only that, you had people that were staring out of the holes, and he mentions this in his paper. If you've got this raging fire in these holes, and you've got people standing there looking out of the holes, well, they shouldn't even be able to be anywhere in that area if you've got a fire burning hot enough to weaken this steel. So remember those photographs where you saw people standing outside the hole. And as far as the pancake scenario, the free fall gravity scenario, well, if he mentioned it, when you blow up a structure like that, demolition, they strategically place explosives somewhere in the infrastructure of the structure so that it'll all fall at the same time. But if you've got something, one level falling on top of the other level, falling on top of the other level, it's not going to fall as fast as these towers fail, because they fail at, like, the free fall rate.
And we only have 2 minutes here, so I'm going to let him get to some.
If he can just comment on those subjects there.
Thank you,
Yeah,
Will.
Your listener is very well informed, but he's right. There was little fuel. That's why they actually had to demo the South Tower first, because they were losing the cover of attributing it to a fire. So there was little fuel, so the fire was starved for fuel.
And let's talk about the size of the holes and what the size of the holes indicate in the building.
Okay, now I'm arguing here again. This is disputed, but that the holes are just too small. They're noticeably too small for a Boeing 767. Boeing 767 is 156 feet wide, and the buildings are 207 feet wide. So that's 76% of the span of the building. And in the South Tower, especially, the hole is way too small. So at whatever it was that went in there, or whatever blew it from the inside, excuse me, couldn't have been a 767.
So then,
and go back to your caller. Yeah, these fires were not hot because we had people standing in the holes. That one, there's a famous photograph of the North Hole where there's a blonde in white slacks, and they're telling us, oh man, these. And then he's also right about these buildings falling way too fast to be a pancake collapse. Even the 9/11 Commission report, which is a whitewasher cover-up, admits on page 305 that the South Tower fell in about 10 seconds. That might be a little too fast, actually. But what they fail to realize, because they're ignorant, is they're really admitting it was a free fall, i.e. a demolition. In other words, they don't even realize that they're admitting.
They don't realize they're making a confession.
That's right, a vital one.
And we need to let people know where they can get a copy of your report.
Okay, you can just Google Morgan Reynolds, and that'll show up. My report made a lot of news on June 9th because the Drudge Report, UPI, and Washington Times picked it up. But also, I've got articles at lewrockwell.com. That's lewrockwell.com.
Professor Morgan Reynolds, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you, Liz, for having me.
My pleasure. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
You pull it all the way out. That's not progress. The progress is healing the wound. That's below. That's a low me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. Don't be scared. Tell me, brother. Stop
listening. WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
President Bush will have something to say early this afternoon on the death of ABC newsman Peter Jennings. He died of lung cancer yesterday. Jennings once said he felt it was his job to leave people with a rough draft of history every day. Some days reassuring, other days not.
I'm always conscious of how many people there are out there and how different they are in many respects, but that there is a certain hopefulness in the country. And then I think is when I feel that